welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, what's cooking? First, you and your phone calls, 866-901-ADAM. I really do want to talk to you. What do we got going on? Def Frat Guy coming in the studio. So the show will be at least a B-minus. Because if any day Def Frat Guy, oh, actually I see him now already. Oh, anytime Def Frat Guy comes in the studio, it's at least a B-minus show. We don't have to do any other show.
Mm-hmm. Well, he must have some intramural event or something like that. He's all decked out in his frat letters and everything.
He's looking very athletic, yeah. Also, Dick Cavett coming in the studio. Tori Spelling coming in the studio. Sabina, the hot German model from the Overstock.com commercial coming in. We're talking about how there's a special... Good morning, by the way, Dave and Teresa.
Good morning. Word.
There's a special relationship you form with the hot models or hot people on the TV commercials that's sort of somewhere in between hot actress, you know, starlet and foxy substitute school teacher. Mm-hmm. There's a weird connection, like, this one's mine. This Overstock chick? That's my chick.
You chose her specifically.
Yeah, I discovered her. I chose her. We're both sort of flying under the radar in our own fantasy relationship. She may have her thing going. Maybe I'm married. Maybe I'm not. I can't remember. But the point is we got our own thing going on. Mm-hmm. Me and the Overstock chick. And I've discovered her. And she's not, you know, she's not Katie Holmes. She's not Penelope Cruz. She's not on the arm of some leading man walking down the red carpet. I wouldn't be tackled by security if I tried to get near her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the 21st century version of what starlets used to be. Now, because of the Entertainment Tonight's and Pat O'Brien's of the world, we know way too much about every celebrity, big-time celebrity. You know, now these women are kept at a distance. We don't know
who
anything
are they?
About them.
What's their real name?
Right, whereas Overstock.com girl is attainable.
Yes, I'm going to nail her if she comes into the studio.
I expect no less.
Dave, you're going to have to get the lights in the door.
Well, I get
not in that order. Listen,
I get to take part.
What about Def Frat Guy?
Oh, he's going to be all over.
Yeah, he's going to be all over. And let me say this about Teresa this morning, looking very sort of 60s Bond girl.
Thank you.
Hair pulled in the ponytail, tight sweater.
The rarely seen Semitic Bond girl.
Wearing... a little, pussy yarmulke.
Manischewitz, shaking, not stirred.
That's right. Yeah, it's a good look. You going somewhere after this?
Interview at Kevin and Bean at 3. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I just wanted to look good for you guys.
Well, you did. Done and done.
Thank you.
And, you know, the other thing is, I don't know why... I'm trying to think, you know, you have your sort of look wheelhouse. I love that 60s look. I don't know what look it is. Maybe it's, you know, Nancy Sinatra. These boots were made for walking or something. Or maybe it's one of the chicks dancing around behind Dean Martin, you know, one of the gold diggers or something. Somehow Playboy circa 1969.
Bridget Bardot in Playboy, the hottest ever.
Yeah, that look and that sort of, as we talked about yesterday, that Raquel Welch, circa 1968, 69, 2000 BC, just sort of big hair and orange tan with orange lipstick and huge, you know, boobs everywhere and big eyelashes. There's something I like about it. And maybe it's because I was five seeing these women and they got seared into my nut.
I wasn't reared in that era. And I'll say this, that's at least among my very favorites. Isn't the top two or three is... The shorter skirt with the boots.
The boots.
Exposing
the short
just
skirt.
Enough flesh.
The big
analyze.
Hair. Look at the boots.
I got
yeah.
the boots.
Yeah.
Tomorrow it'll be the mini.
It's a great look. And then I realize, like, if you are a young child today and you grow up around, you know, tats in the small of the back and hood piercings, is that what you're going to be into? Mm-hmm. Is that forever burned in? Is it Jenna Jameson?
I feel sad if that's the case for the fellas of this day and age because, you know, I know it's attractive to most fellas. I don't know what's wrong with me that this doesn't register to me, but the high thong back hanging out of the back is not attractive to me. I don't know why. That doesn't titillate.
I don't mind it depending on the ass it's on, but the whole part where the chick is... becomes a stripper slash hooker slash porn star. Here's the whole thing. I guess the message I'd like to send to the young ladies. We will decide if you're attractive based on what you look like. The fact that you've had sex with multiple men or would be willing to have sex with us doesn't make you more physically attractive. It makes us more apt to hang out with you, but it doesn't make us more attracted to you. The fact that you have a, you know, tattoo of a bullseye 3 inches above your ass crack does not make you more physically attractive. A hood piercing, tats, the stripper wedgie, lucite heels with the goldfish in them doesn't make, you know, the no eyebrow that looks like Agnes Moorhead or somebody took a Sharpie and just painted on your eyebrow, that crazy, you know, bleached out blonde hair and everything. It doesn't physically make you more attractive. It just makes us seem like you're a little more accessible.
Yeah, wouldn't it be, you know, I've said this for a long time, is that wouldn't the stripper really distinguish herself and get more business if she distinguished herself from the pack with the lucite heels and everything and instead did the
burlap sack with a flip-flop? Yes.
No, yeah, you know what I mean.
It's a great look.
The boots with the skirt or like the schoolgirl or one of these kind of looks.
I'll give you for me what sort of sums it up. A woman in a bikini, first off, a bikini, nothing more sexy to me than a two-piece bikini. Lingerie, not as sexy as a bikini. I love a bikini. Now, I love going to the beach, and because there's a part where you're sort of, you've somehow infiltrated their civilian life. Lingerie is great, but lingerie, it's your lady, she's at the foot of the bed. There's no mystery what's going on here. Bikini, You could be looking across the snack shack at some hot chick who you'll never get your hands on. She's coming up in the bikini. But the bikini's hot to me. Bikini with heels, not as hot as bikini with tennis shoes.
Of course not. I don't understand. That is another universal thing that when you see models and stuff in their bikinis, high heels, what gives?
It lengthens the leg.
Yes, it does. But I would say it's sort of distracting and incongruous. Yes, it is nice to see them in the bikini when they slip on the tennis shoes to negotiate the hot sand, a little bit of the bike path on their way up to get a dog on a stick.
Yes, we're on the same page on this one.
That's why I couldn't work at one of those snack shacks, because the chicks would pull up and they'd be like, give me a popcorn and a tab, dog on a stick, hot dog on a stick. No, tab and some peanuts. Hot dog on a stick? Hot dog on a stick? That's all I would sell them. And then eventually we would compromise. All right, Snickers bar on a stick, though. Everything would have to come on a stick. Here's the stick. Yes.
Well, it's also, you're again, as we discussed yesterday, with the cheerleaders outfit that you see their underpants, essentially, you know, but you're allowed to see it. Same thing with seeing women in their bikinis. We win on a technicality. These same women that we see on the beach in their bikini would never allow us to see them in their underpants.
No.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
Colorful underpants.
It is.
But we win on the technicality.
Yes, we do. Thank you. We have the spirit. How about you? Oh, I went right into cheerleading thing. Yes, as I've said many times, no better gig than the spotter at the cheerleading camp. A man, an adult male, paid, will be fired if he does not look up at the 17-year-old ass that hovers 6 feet above his head.
And firmly handle the
Yes,
totus.
If he does not stand there and focus every ounce of his energy on staring up the very short miniskirt of the 16 or 17-year-old who's at the top of the pyramid, he will be ass-canned. He will be asked to leave. Bert, yes, I'm calling you to my office for a reason. Yes, you have not been staring at the ass of enough underage chicks. I saw you standing underneath that pyramid. Check your watch at one point. How dare you take your focus away from the hindquarters of these underage girls? It's the greatest gig in the world. I've said this because if a hot chick got on a ladder in a miniskirt and you walked underneath the ladder and you just sort of stared at her, you'd be tackled and arrested.
Escalator, that would be rude.
Yeah, that's why I got to get that gig.
Well, when you were a
spotter. I don't think they hire guys in their 40s to do that with the high school.
Oh, yeah? We'll see.
Especially ones on the sexual registry. Since you were a high school football player, I imagine you dated cheerleaders.
No. You know, it was weird. There's that somebody decided what high school was like in this country in 1953, and then we've never let it go. You know, the captains of the football team are dating in 22 Skidoo, and we're going out to the dance after the... Well, is it really wasn't much of that. The cheerleaders were... There was a couple of foxy ones, not too many. They dated other guys. The guys on the football team were sort of lugs. You know what I mean? They were like 200-plus pound guys, and big guys don't do well. The guys who do well in high school are the little Keith Partridge types. You know, if you think about all the matinee idols, all the, you know, Jason Priestley and the Matthew Perry, or the, who's the other
Luke Perry?
Perry? Luke Perry and all these guys. They're little, diminutive, cute, proportioned, 140-pound guys who do real... Michael J. Fox. Think Michael J. Fox... circa the Back in Time movie.
Right.
That's who does well. The guy, they're 5'5", 5'6", 135 pounds, very well proportioned. They get the cheerleaders. Think of the football players as Biff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's how it worked for the Iceman.
Well, right. Whatever it was, it didn't work for me, that's for sure.
We will, not interested. We will take ourselves a little break. Greg Fitzsimmons. The world's funniest comedian, Greg Fitzsimmons, coming in here. Def Frat Guy's coming in today. Sabina, the Overstock.com. Hot Chick from Germany. We called her up yesterday. She's coming in. Dick Cavett, Tori Spelling. Tons of show. We'll be back.
Hey, man, this is Tommy Chong. Call Adam Carolla right now at 1-866-901-8PAM.
That is Tommy Chong. Def Frat Guy's going to come in here. He's actually in here. I don't know why he's here so early. Look at him giving me the...
Probably hasn't been to bed yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm partying.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, last night was Wednesday night. By then, I'm sure they had some, you know, dime beer night at one of his drinking halls.
Sure.
Maybe the frat house had some sort of four-way party or something. Tried outs and such.
I was so jealous when I was working my horrible jobs. The irony is... When you're at your lowest as a male, when you're working your worst job, when you're at the lowest part of your life, that's when other people you know are in college. It'd be one thing, like, you know, if I was on the radio and I was having a good time and making a decent paycheck and meeting some women and driving a cool car, and then the other half of my buddies were off at college doing keg stands, living in frat houses and going to Saturday tailgates, it'd be like, all right, well, you guys are having your fun. I'm having my fun, too. The problem is when you're 18, 19, and 20 and you're not going to college, you are cleaning carpets with El Salvadorian guys and driving a beat-up van and sleeping on a futon with your buddy, the Wheeze, and getting no action and having no money. Thus, the frat lifestyle or the college lifestyle is utopia compared to where you're at.
Sure.
If you could, that's the biggest, that you know, and everyone's on an equal footing in high school. You're 18. That's the big slide. You know, when I was a senior in high school, captain of the football team, big man on campus, everything going great, boom.
Precipitous fall. It really must be terrible.
Oh, 6 months later, they wrestle away the Letterman jacket, hand you a carpet cleaning wand, and that's your new life.
And your old buddies are in college.
Often. Thank God.
Well, fortunately, not
I hung out with buffoons that threw fecal matter.
He was the Einstein of the group, believe me.
Yeah.
I met him.
I had a 1.75 GPA, so I was considered the valedictorian of the group.
They called you professor.
They called me the professor,
did they?
Yes.
They asked you for help with their calculus homework.
That's right.
His other friends, a couple of them, may actually have been apes.
Really?
They may not even have been human beings. They fling poop at each other.
Did they have opposable thumbs?
Poop.
They had the raised brow line. Other than that. Jason?
Yeah, Adam, what's up?
You say you actually had a gig as a cheerleading spotter?
Actually, I was a cheerleader, Adam.
Mm-hmm. And but you spotted as a cheerleader as well, right?
Absolutely, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Cagey. They get ripped on. The cheerleading men get ripped on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
would they do such an effeminate thing? But this is the real cagey fella who does this.
It's great.
Well, I don't know. If you ever watch the college cheerleading level, it's pretty buff. They get pretty buffed out and doing some pretty intense stuff. But, you know, high school, it wasn't so intense. But we did some cool stuff, lots of stunts. You had to have strength. And, you know, we tried to bring a more masculine image to that kind of to the
chicks are wearing panties. I mean, yeah. they're panties.
They're actually called lollies, is what they call them.
I like that even better. Yeah.
They cover. Let me ask you this, because you know they're not like panties. They cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, they cover a little more, but when you're doing lots of physical activity, cartwheels, etc., it tends to ride up, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm.
Yeah, they're panties circa 1978.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
not today's so, panty, but
They weren't a thong, but they definitely got up there.
How many lollies did you suck?
Lollygagging, if you will.
The point is, easy, Dave. It's gross. The point is it's not like you're sitting on the bleachers and the chick is standing in front of you and she's lifting her skirt up and giving you a look at the lolly. She's standing 6.5 feet above your head and you're staring direct. I mean, you are a teenage gynecologist.
Exactly.
You're a gynecologist in a thick sweater.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's essentially what you are.
How many did you have? How many of the cheerleaders did you have?
I actually had none on my squad, but I did hook up with a couple from other schools, which is kind of cool.
Oh, I could imagine. Imagine then going off to cheerleading camp.
I was just going to tell you that story.
Tons and tons of hot chicks away from home, all with daddy issues, eating disorders.
800 girls to 12 guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, see, listen.
Ingenious.
Thank you, Jason. I'm going to map this strategy out with my son. Mm-hmm. Stop focusing on being the captain of the football team. You spend the lion's share of your time surrounded by 50 sweaty buffoons.
That's right. Don't try out. It's the same thing. If you want to be an Olympian, stop with the basketball. There are too many people fighting it out to get the Olympic gold medal with basketball. Be a loser. That's mm-hmm. what you're saying. Don't
That's
go
right.
out for the high school football team. Cheerleading. That's where you'll make your hay.
Yes, and furthermore, go out. Hey, listen, go join the dance club. Just yes. be the only dude amongst. It's all proximity when you're young. It's all proximity. They do it all the time. Whenever they talk about these super smoking hot starlets, whoever, it's like not a favorite, but you have to admit she was pretty hot, certainly back in the day. You talk about like Anna Nicole Smith, you know? Well, growing up, what did she do? Well, I worked at a chicken. I work at Cluck Cluck McF's. And great name, ends with the ED too. I worked down there, yeah, just worked a chicken basket in a deep fryer. I was married at 19. It's like, who'd you marry? My neighbor. The hottest chicks in the world, you just marry whoever's closest to them.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I had a high school sweetheart. Then they always interview the guy. They always find the guy. He's a fat, bald guy who works at a Home Depot. Now, what? You were on top of Anna Nicole Smith when she was 16? Yeah, what happened? We live close to each other. Let's get in the proximity. Eventually, they'll be too good for you, and they'll leave you. I'll explain this to my son.
Star 80 girl.
Right.
Right.
That's right. Just go hang out. Just go get close.
Would you have your son take ballet lessons? Because in my day, I took ballet for 12 years. There was one boy in the entire time I took ballet.
Smart. That's what you want. That's what you want.
I think the cheerleader girls would be more fun, though, than the ballet girls.
Dylan?
Hey, how you doing?
You drive a limo?
Yeah, we drive limos up here in Vegas.
Somebody stiffed you?
Yeah, well, my buddy yesterday had Usher and Keisha Cole, and he drove them around for 8 hours, and they gave him $20 after 8 hours. I wanted to see what your opinion was on this malarkey.
Well, I will say a couple things, not in defense of celebrities, but maybe offering up a possible explanation. There's a few things that celebrities get used to. They get used to other people paying for stuff. Sometimes, so it's unclear whether their manager or whether their firm or whether they're whatever paid for whatever.
Okay, but I have a. Are you still there? Can you still hear me or not?
Yes, yes.
Okay. On the other side, Sandra Bullock had a fully comped ride, $200, and she's a $200 tip, and she's apologizing that it's not enough.
Wow.
Oh.
Class A.
Well, Dylan, I don't know what Corolla thinks, but Usher just made the jerk report.
Yeah,
there you go.
Right,
buddy. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we should have nominees for the jerk report. You ought to do.
I nominate Usher and Keisha Cole.
An all listener driven jerk report.
Listen, believe me, there is a nation of righteous out there. I'm finding out that the listeners are writing in with their jerks, their nominees. Beware, jerks of the world, creeps. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, because the world is watching you now.
Mm.
A nation of jerkinators will take you down.
I'm also wondering, you know, there is that cultural ethnic thing they say that the brothers don't tip quite as good as
I've heard that.
Is the crackers do. I happen to know that this is, there's probably a little bit of overcompensation. If I have a black driver, I'll give, make sure I give him a good tip just because I don't want him to think I'm racist. Wonder if it works the other way. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they probably, the black drivers probably assume that you're mulatto or something.
Because of the crazy hair?
The afro and everything, yeah.
Not sure if you're allowed to say that word.
Is that right?
No,
oh,
I mean,
yeah, that
afro.
Is. It is a slang. It is a negative slang. You're right.
All right. We need to take ourselves a little break. Greg Fitzsimmons is here now. Very funny comedian, Greg Fitzsimmons. Def Frat guy coming in. Sabina, the hot blonde chick from the Overstock commercial. She's the one in the tennis outfit. She's the one in the ball gown. She's the one in the casual attire. She changes outfits like 10 different times. Looks smoking in all of them. From Germany, we found out. Bring her in. Dick Cavett, Tori Spelling, all coming up.
If you don't wear a condom, you're having sex with every partner your partner ever had. And every partner each of those partners ever had. So theoretically, if you had sex with a woman who had sex with a guy who slept with your ex-girlfriend, theoretically, you could really screw yourself.
Greg Fitzsimmons in studio.
Little math humor there.
I normally don't like math at this this hour, but because it was funny, I give you a pass on it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Greg's going to be at the Hollywood Improv Friday at 8:30. This Friday at 8:30, two shows on Saturday, 8:30 and 10:30. Well, lots of things to get to. First off, we were talking during the commercial about hosting the AVN Awards, the Porn Awards, earlier this month or this year. Sorry.
It was January 6th, I believe. That's when my life changed.
How did that go?
Well, it's, you know, the fallacy is, because a lot of my buddies came out and a lot of their wives wouldn't let them come out. Because they say, you're not going to hook up with some skank in Vegas.
Right.
Well, here's a news flash. The skanks in Vegas are there to sell DVDs and push their websites. They're not there to have sex with the friend of the host of the AVN Awards.
Right.
There was a... as a matter of fact, the centerpiece, 5,000 people in the audience, and each table had, for the centerpiece had rubber vaginas.
Really?
Oh, that's classy. With flowers or just the rubber?
Nah, they went straight to it.
Okay.
And so we all grabbed one, and we're running around at strip clubs all night, making fun of the rubber vagina and laughing about it. And then the next day, I call each of my friends. Did you screw it? Yeah, I screwed it. You screw it? Yeah, I screwed it. And that's the only thing you're screwing at the AVN Awards.
I had Ron Jeremy's penis, the likeness of his penis at my home for many years before I finally... I'm so goddamn cheap. I was given Ron Jeremy's Lucite penis by Ron Jeremy. You know, they do that thing where they actually have representations of your parts made up. They have Jenna Jameson's vagina.
Yeah,
and
it's like a mold.
Ron Jeremy's penis, where they actually do a mold, and he gave it to me. We pulled out of the trunk of his car once, and he gave it to me. I guess that's, you know, I keep road flares in the back of my car for my business. He keeps his penis in the back of his car, but he gave me the thing, and I realized the thing probably retails for $85.
Sure.
And you could make three truck tires out of the materials that are involved with it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to throw it away. It's a weird thing now. There's too much stuff in life. I know this is your segment, Greg, but I just have to say.
Now you roll.
There's
Adam,
too much. There's too much stuff. It used to be very clear when I was growing up. Like, this is garbage. This is a keeper.
Yeah.
Now there's too much stuff produced too cheap in China, whatever. And there's too much stuff that falls in the gray area of I'll never use it. It's humiliating. I don't want this in my house, yet I can't throw it away. Ron Jeremy's penis fits that. I brought it into my house, and my maid found it just to move the story along and realize.
She found it?
Well, set it somewhere, and she moved it. That's how I realized she found it. And I realized to her, who speaks no English and has no contacts, it has no contacts other than the guy who owns this house likes to keep huge penises in his closet.
Did she move it with her hands, or?
It was unclear. Oh. I've not got the stuff back from the data back from the lab yet. But the point is she... It's not like you can explain it.
No.
It's just I realize she thinks God knows what of me.
There's no Spanish word for irony.
Right.
But there is one for gay guy whose house I clean.
Right, and I'm sure she uses it soon as she gets home.
And I'm sure she was blogging all about it, if you can read in Spanish.
But don't you? Yeah.
The El Blago.
It is one of the things that's nice about living in Los Angeles. People look at, you know, half the populace not speaking the language is a bad thing. I look at it as a good thing. There's so many times when you want to go to the, you know, Asian whoever or the Mexican whoever. Let me explain what... Ah, screw it. Who are you telling?
Yeah.
You don't know anyone I know. Go ahead, blab away in your native tongue.
No, I asked my gardener to grow out the rose bushes, and he then yanked them all out, and I realized it looks a little better.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, it works out. The other piece of junk I've got in my house, I have a bobblehead doll, the Pope John Paul bobblehead doll, which... Mm-hmm. Which I got before his head started actually bobbling in real life.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So why would you get rid of it?
now it's really worse.
It was a
more
very relevant.
Present object. And the Pope went down hard at the end, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. See, first off, to me, the idea that you name all the popes the same name or every other one the same name is a very confusing way to go as a sort of casual atheist onlooker.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to keep track of everybody. It's like if the Pittsburgh Steelers named every quarterback Terry Bradshaw, but this was Terry Bradshaw the fifth as opposed to Terry Bradshaw the second, I wouldn't know what the hell we were talking about ever or who you were talking
about. Well, didn't George Foreman name his kids all George?
Yes.
That's true.
So it could be a new thing in sports. Maybe they are going to do that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Hey, speaking of atheists,
yes.
you're having a boy and a girl, right?
Yes.
You're gonna chop off the tip?
I am.
Why?
Only on the girl.
Oh, sweet. So you're going to Africa.
Yeah.
That way she won't be tempted.
Let's do that
I'll tell you,
have a bris in here.
That's fine with me.
All right.
I'll tell you why. Because I've heard, after doing Loveline for 11 years, I heard so many horror stories surrounding the prepubes, I decided, screw it.
Prepubes?
The foreskin.
Oh.
Yeah,
yes.
that thing. You know, a lot of guys talking about stenosis. It shrinks up. They can't get it out. The smell. And plus, chicks freaked out by the foreskin.
Yeah, but that's the last generation. Your son's generation. My son's not circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's barbaric. I think you're an animal if you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically cosmetic surgery.
Well, it's interesting. It's a good point because Dr. Drew has two sons that he chose to get circumcised.
Really?
And the thing that's funny, and this is not an attack, taken the spirit in which it's intended.
Please,
I just called
you an animal.
The guys who haven't had their kids circumcised make a strong, they're compelled to argue.
Yeah.
Like, listen, you don't do that. And then the guys who have, Dr. Drew, you never see him more vehement about something. And I always say to him, look, it's a personal decision. And at this point in the road, sort of a coin toss. You're not going to ruin your kid either way. It's just whatever you decide, I'll leave it up to my wife. I don't care. Drew... vehement and adamant about it, and I realize he's speaking through his son's penises.
Yes.
As you are,
but
for your son's penis.
I never tap the mic, though, when I'm doing that.
That's good.
I forget about the whole argument that it's traumatic as a child, because
yes.
I don't believe in the childhood trauma thing. I believe in the adult trauma thing. My children have traumatized me way more than I could ever traumatize
them.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
Taking a bath with your son, and suddenly there's a brown floaty.
Yeah.
That requires therapy from me.
Sure.
He'll get over that right away.
He's past it.
Not me. I think about it every night.
And you look at it this way. If the kid is only 3 months old when he drops the deuce in the tub, at 6 months, that's half his life. Half your life, you'd have to be 80.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So
now you're throwing math jokes.
He got half of it. Took him half his life to get over floating the deuce in the tub, but that was only 6 weeks.
By the way, young ones always float.
That's true.
It's like a witch.
Yeah,
you can tell how, you can forget slicing the tree to see how old it is.
Counting the rings,
See where it floats.
When do they start sinking?
Don't know yet.
We'll find out.
I got a 5.5-year-old still floating.
Once Dinty Moore stew is introduced into the diet.
That's it.
I found through my research, that's when they start sinking.
The lead from the can.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't got that far with the research, but once the Dinty Moore beef stew is introduced, right to the Davy Jones locker. Deep sixing, we call it.
I think the breast milk is the other thing that makes that baby float.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my wife breastfed my kids for 2.5 years each.
Mm.
And that's sick.
Well, In Europe,
maybe
it's not.
That does cross a line, right?
Yeah, it seems a little long.
Not in other cultures.
No, other cultures, they go till 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Because they don't have actual, food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a problem for the mother who's breastfeeding the child, because what...
Hold on, Greg. Greg, you want to talk about penises?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about penises this morning.
Yes.
hey, your kids are going to suffer. That's not cool to do to your kids and not circumcise them when they get in high school. This day and age, everybody's circumcised. And when they go to high school and they're going to get laid for the first time or whatever, the chicks are going to freak out.
My son won't be going to high school in this day and age. That's my point. In 18
that's
years,
right.
I'm telling you, every kid in our neighborhood, the boys, and I've seen them all.
Sure.
Are uncircumcised.
I know.
People don't do it anymore. The AMA no
longer
recommends it.
They taste salty, don't they?
Well, that's it. When you pull it back, you really get a burst of flavor.
No, you make a good point. Because
like chomping down on a lifesaver, yeah. Yeah,
they won't be as ostracized because their peers will also, many of them will be uncircumcised.
But if you get if you do the circumcision, you can put that foreskin ace right up on the mantle next to Ron Jeremy's rubber wang.
Put it on Ron Jeremy's ring.
I have a little, how some people keep their butterfly collection, little pin through it, glass case. I do that with foreskins. Got my nephews on there, my dad, all the Corollas.
Then at Christmas, you guess who's a zoo.
Yeah.
A holiday tradition.
Yeah. Pin the foreskin on the donkey.
The thing is, either way, I'm not here to judge. All I'm saying is, the whole foreskin, thing, it's a train that has been coming down the tracks for 25, 30 years, but it hasn't arrived at the station yet. I thought, in the 80s, let's go back 20 years. The prediction would have been, well, by the year 2000, the whole circumcision thing will be gone except for the Hasidim. It is kept alive. It is stayed afloat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's plastic surgery. I mean, if you want to talk about medical reasons to do it, the AMA no longer recommends doing it. They said there's no advantage to having it done. There, a vagina is a gland, right, Teresa?
I believe so.
You have to wash it, correct?
It's a self-cleaning organ, they say, but yes, you should wash. Well, yeah, they say you shouldn't douche because it's a self-cleaning organ.
But right. You do have to penetrate lightly. For proper hygiene.
I would, yes.
Well, that's what they say with the penis. You don't have to, you got to pull it back, throw a little soap on it like you would with a vagina.
No, you know what I say?
Then you won't have a smell.
It's the difference between driving a convertible and a hard top. Convertible, nice, put the top down during the summer. It's nice. There's a little more maintenance involved with it. Overall, a better driving experience. But you got to throw a little armor all on the vinyl roof every once in a while.
But what's less attractive than a Volkswagen Bug that has had the top cut off to make it a convertible?
Well, listen,
I'm with you,
but tell that to the 17-year-old ladies who are freaked out by Surge with the uncut wang.
Speaking of Surge, the sensitivity with the uncircumcised penis is apparently unbelievable.
Yes,
you pull that back, and you're crazy. You're like on ecstasy.
Some would argue too much. You know, like putting your tongue on the roof of your mouth. Listen, I don't have time for this, but you and Dr. Drew should definitely lock antlers on this or lock something else.
Yeah.
It would be great because you're obviously educated and a man of passion about your son's penis.
Absolutely.
Drew is very passionate about his son's penises.
Yeah.
And you guys together could really fill a good hour somewhere.
Yeah, but not this hour.
Not here.
No,
not today.
Let's talk about breastfeeding.
Yeah, I'd like
Is the wife planning on doing it?
I hope so.
You haven't discussed it. You've talked about the penis, but not the breast.
I'm assuming she's going to breastfeed. She seems poised to breastfeed.
Solid
yes.
rack, your
yes,
wife?
Yes, yes. Solid
size,
rack.
Very
good,
ample
good
bosoms.
Good D-cup. Good.
D-cup?
Good.
Previous to being pregnant, she was a D-cup?
Yes.
All natural?
Yes.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. She's 280 pounds. So.
Oh, well, hey, that's
yeah.
That's
she's
gross.
Nothing but stretch marks and areola. Yeah. But yeah, technically
but
D-cup.
But really, if you close your eyes, that was always my feeling on having sex with overweight women was like, close your eyes. The rack is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Focus
on the positive.
No, it's true.
Back away from her about 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Grab the bosoms.
Mm-hmm.
And make love to her and think about a skinny, skinny young woman with your wife's breasts.
Yeah. Hold
photos?
On. Yeah, I could. Well, where's my wallet, Bruska? Yeah, here we go. No. How dare you? By the way, 3 inches is the same as a mile for me.
They're going to get bigger and bigger as she gets, I guess she's pretty close.
Yeah, right? she's going to give birth in about 6-7 weeks.
Wow.
But breastfeeding, you were saying.
Well, you know, it can become an obstacle to your lovemaking.
It can.
My wife, 2.5 years, and after a while, it's like, okay, wrap it up. Daddy'd like to have sex again, you know, mm-hmm. and he's in the bed. And at one point, this is a true story, we went to bed, and he's in the bed with us, slept in the bed with us. And we started making love, and mm-hmm. halfway through, he crawled over and started breastfeeding while we were making love.
Oh. Yeah.
And, you know, I'd always wanted to have a threesome, but this was not the way I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's weird.
And his eyes opened up. He's trying to high five me. I'm like, hey, you know, show some respect for your mother.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I swear to you, if my dog is in the room, I have to evacuate the dog. The dog must leave. The wife doesn't care, but I don't want the dog eyeballing me.
Yeah,
I just it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if he tells his other doggy friends or the mailman or what.
Probably talks to the maid.
Or the maid. Yeah, she shares stories about Ron Jeremy's phallus.
Yeah.
He says, oh, yeah, that's nothing. Guy's hung like a chapstick cap. And then they laugh heartily, both in their sort of native tongue. He does the Scooby-Doo. By the way, you know, it must be nice to decide in 1961 that this is what dogs sound like, whatever Scooby-Doo sounds like. Sure. And then forevermore, anyone who does a dog has to sound like Scooby-Doo. But the thing is, I would find that a distraction if the son was in the room. Now, the daughter, that's another story.
Oh, sure.
That's healthy.
Well, we had my daughter, we were smarter with my daughter, and she sleeps in the next room. And then the difficult thing is having sex at night when you're a parent, just it doesn't happen anymore. You don't have nighttime sex.
Mm-hmm.
You hate each other, you're exhausted, you're covered in vomit, and mm-hmm. you just want to go to sleep. And then in the morning, what I do is I try to throw a move in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like I sleep doggy, you know, spooning, which is really the sleeping version of doggy style.
Right.
Right.
That's why I was with you.
It's doggy tipped over, yeah.
Yeah, it's a sleeping doggy.
Right.
And so then I'll sort of, in the morning, if the baby's not awake and she's not awake, I'll just kind of knock on the back door a little bit.
Sure.
And if she pushes back, mm-hmm. it's on.
Right, right.
And that's the only time we're going to do it. So the other morning we were making love in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And stop me if I'm going too far.
No, keep going.
So I'm up on one arm, you know, from behind, but
uh-huh.
up on one arm.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
you know that one, yeah.
You know, it's nice. It's going good. We got a mirror in the room. I'm checking myself out. Look at me.
Yeah.
And then after a while, got a shoulder cramp.
Sure.
So I just moved down to the hand on the side of the head position, elbow on the bed.
Right.
And now I'm really looking cool. You know, all I need is like sunglasses and a cocktail.
Right.
And I'm going, and all of a sudden the baby starts crying in the next room, and she wants to go pick up the baby, but I'm in stage 7.
Mm-hmm. Out of a possible 10 or 100?
Out of 7 and a quarter.
Oh, really? Are you there?
I'm just about to land.
Right.
So she's trying to get up, and I've got my arm around her, and now my leg is hooked over the top. She's trying to get up like a cat when you pin it on
yeah.
its back.
Right.
Squirming, and I'm holding her, and it's not rape, but she can't get up.
Yeah.
Right. Fine line.
Right.
She can't get up. And then she finally just reached between her legs and punched me. And
wow.
And
well, through the legs.
Through the legs. Blind.
Wow. And jumped up.
And jumped up. And I was left laying in the bed squirming.
Yeah, it's strange that we've abandoned our sort of reptilian brain and whatever link we had to the animal world, except for that last quarter. If something goes on during that last quarter, if you go to 7 1/4 and you're at 7, something tries to interrupt that last
mushroom
quarter.
Cloud.
Yes, yes. Dirty bomb has gone off in the middle of downtown Los Angeles. Nothing can stop that. That you do go back to, you know, several hundred thousand years and become the guy with the distended brow and jaw.
I would suggest that to high school wrestlers. You know, if you really want to win a match, bring yourself to 7
right before
the whistle blows.
Mm-hmm.
That guy ain't getting you off of him.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are going to talk in school the next day.
Sure.
But you're the state champ.
It'll be humiliating when they raise your arms up. You're wearing the wrestling unitard and there's a huge splotch between your legs.
Yeah.
And you're smoking out there on the mat. But a victory's a victory, I always say. And, you know, they do say tying is like kissing your sister. So winning must be like raping your opponent.
Absolutely.
And do the math.
You pick up the dry cleaning bill for the other team. That's fine. You're the state champ. You got a lot of money.
That's right. call the kid in with the squeegee and the long stick, do a quick lap across the map like they do at the Laker game under the hoop, and then it's right back to the action.
And by your third match, you're getting free wins. No one's showing up.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And no one's Fitzsimmons tomorrow afternoon.
No one's going to bully you and try and fight you for fear that you might do the same thing to them. Get out of the boner.
Right. Yeah. Although it's like you come home, young Fitzsimmons lost the match. What happened? Guy got hold of me during my refractory period. Sorry, Dad.
I was weakened. I just wanted a nap and some food.
Well, we got to go out and drill. Let's take ourselves a quick break. Greg Fitzsimmons here. He's going to hang out and do the news and sports with us. Is that all right, Greg?
I would love to. It'd be an honor.
Hollywood Improv, Friday, 8:30. Two shows, Saturday, 8:30 and 10:30. Also, Fits of Laughter, his CD, in stores as we speak. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail. I have his password. It's boob. Seriously, the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, need to get rid of that dude, whatever his name is. That Damashek is no good. Brings down your show, buddy.
Dave Damashek must be fired.
Wow.
That feels good.
What gives?
Words of encouragement. Well, let me explain something. I'll tell you. Let me defend Dave Damashek, number one sports guy, for a second. He says it brings down the show. The caller says it brings down the show. What happens when something gets too high? You get a balloon. It gets too high up into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. No oxygen. You suffocate. What you want to do is hover a little bit, not get up into the Gulf Stream and be carried out into Chinese airspace and be shot down by surface-to-air missile. No. It's a couple hundred feet, not too high. Damashek's a sandbag on this gondola, and I appreciate him for
it's
one.
It's like the deal
Thank
or
you.
No deal,
The
girls.
More you know.
They all blend together, and none distinguish themselves. I rein it in to let you rise above all the rest.
I tuned out. Greg Fitzsimmons is in studio. He's at the Hollywood Improv Friday and Saturday. Got one show on Friday, two shows.
Great lineup. We got Sarah Silverman and Drew Carey and Louis C.K. and
really?
A lot of big names coming in.
Wow.
The guy who played Kramer on Seinfeld.
Wow.
Michael Richards.
Well, that is some world-class comedy.
Yes, who's the headliner?
You.
Greg Fitzsimmons.
Really?
Bringing it home, putting the kids to bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an honor, really.
It really, I swear that's it's a who's who of stand-ups over there.
It is, and you know, they are only getting about $15 per show, and I'm getting $100.
Wow.
Yes. So you can see, with the honor.
So seriously, CK and Fitzsimmons, obviously, and Silverman, everyone performing this
Nick
weekend.
Nick Swartzen's coming down.
Wow. It's a great night, great weekend.
Yeah, it's a good lineup, and Andy Kindler will be there. Now, I can go on and on.
When you do two shows on Saturday, doing 8:30 and a 10:30, I'm about to ask you if you mix it up. I would love you to have the guts to say no. It's exactly the same verbatim. If you see the 8:30, you've seen the 10:30.
If you see the 8:30 Friday and the 8:30 Saturday, they'll be similar. But when I hit the late show Saturday, the filth comes out.
Oh,
that's
really?
The raunchy show. That's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got some stuff that you know, sexual stuff with my wife. I want to discuss a little bit.
Well, yes. I wouldn't think that'd be the direction you'd go, but interesting.
Well, you got to on the late show.
Yeah.
You heard the lineup.
No, I was kidding because I was hearing about you banging her from behind about 10 minutes ago, and it's 7 in the morning. I go, oh, God, only do the math. Be raping her with a crucifix at 10:30. I mean, do the math. It's 6:49 we heard about him getting her from behind while the kid was crying in a threesome involving his son. Imagine what's going on, the kind of debauchery that's going on at 10:30 at night.
The phones are lighting up at the Improv right now for the 10:30 show.
We're going to do some sports. We're going to do some news. Def Frat Guy is in studio.
What's up, bro?
What's happening, Maverick?
It's all good.
50-year senior over at the Teak House on and SC. Your major is what?
Communication.
All right.
With it?
Yeah.
With a minor in hotel and restaurant management.
All right, he's looking to take on here on the Adam Carolla Show. He's going to graduate if he meets with his thesis counselor or something. I don't want to get mired in that. The point is he's going to graduate soon. He's going to need a gig. He's going to do the astrological report. What report is he doing today, Breska?
We're going to do the lottery numbers.
Oh, the lottery is doing all the state lottery numbers. Because, again, we're looking for a reoccurring thing we can do. So hang tight, okay?
It's mega big.
Okay, hang tight. Hang tight. Break Fitzsimmons.
Have you played?
Just hang back for just 1 second, please. No, I haven't, but hang back. We will talk with Greg. I just want to play a little hypothetical question with Greg Fitzsimmons before we get to the news and the sports. There's no wrong answer here. This is a hypothetical car ride across the country. You and one of two people are going from L.A. to New York, all right? And you tell me who you'd rather travel with. Again, no wrong answers here.
No, it's a Rorschach.
That's right. That's right. All right. Guy number one. The redundant cop, the cop who talks too much, what I'm going to have to ask you to do right now is to go ahead for me right now. Okay, sir, right now, go ahead and give me your license and registration. Okay, for me right now? That
guy? Says I'm going to go ahead and before
yes,
you,
right? Yes, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead right now for me right now and go ahead and step out of the car. Yeah. Okay, go ahead and open the door for me right now, okay, right now? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Like, what? The first 10 times she said, step out of the car, the person just stared at him and didn't move. Oh, you didn't say, go ahead.
It's like red light, green light.
Yeah. You didn't say, Simon Says. My theory with these guys is somebody told them at the academy, if you're stupid, keep talking and no one's going to jump in and bust your chops or get out. It's a way of maintaining control verbally.
You told me that on my first day here.
Okay, right, I'm going to need you to go ahead and be quiet for me right now, okay, news lady? Teresa, what I'm going to need you to do right now is to go ahead and get me a cup of coffee, okay, right now, okay? Go ahead.
Sorry, officer.
And every statement has an okay because they're insecure and they need affirmation that you're with them
right.
at each step because people aren't usually with them.
Yeah, okay right now, okay, ma'am, okay right now, please. Okay, so that guy,
that
cop, or Felicia Rashad.
Wow.
Proud black woman.
Wow.
Talking about her heritage all the way to New York. And dance. And
is
the majesty of dance.
I'm going to go with Felicia Rashad. Wait, what's the route? We going 70 or 80?
Oh, how fast are you going
or what
road
route
are you on?
Route 70 or Route 80?
You're going Route 70.
All right, so the Route 70 is a little more northern. I'm going to go with Rashad.
I'm sorry.
We're going...
I'm sorry. That's
I
wrong.
Thought there was no wrong
well,
answer.
Well, up until now, there hasn't been. But no, I'll tell you why. You want the cop with you in case you get pulled over.
Oh, man.
And then he gets into some sort of lockdown with the cop, okay, right now? They get into dueling, okay, right now?
Yeah.
Like, the guy's like, okay, right now, do you know how fast you're going? And the guy's going, okay, right now, I'm LAPD, okay, right now. And then before you know it, you're off.
I'm not even listening. I'm shell-shocked about the setup.
Well, why is Felicia Rashad going to assist you in some manner in the northern route?
Because when you go north, you get a lot of white guilt. You show up as an interracial couple, they upgrade you to the suite.
Ah. Interesting.
A couple people pick up your dinner check.
You know what? I'm giving you a mulligan on that one.
Oh, sweet.
That was strong.
Thank you.
You came back. All right, now, hypothetical number two. Guy who wears clogs and then explains they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, you could walk around with a pasty over your junk during the summertime. It'd be more comfortable than trousers, but... Who needs to see it? The clogs guy.
Okay.
Versus.
Is this still the drive across the country?
Yeah, same situation. Guy wearing clogs versus the guy who puts the bandana on his dog and names it Bodie. Thinks he's cool. Thinks somehow he's into the outdoor. Explains he's going to the Joshua Tree all the time.
Yeah.
We're going out to Joshua Tree, Ann. Every 10 seconds.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the bandana on the dog guy.
I'm sorry.
This is unbelievable. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank would never do this to me.
All right. This is a simple one. The high school gym teacher versus high school drama teacher.
High school gym teacher.
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm looking at the page. I'm sorry. It's just wrong. I don't write these. It's the first time I've ever seen this. I'm sorry. Last one. The guy who cracks himself up halfway into his story. You know that guy?
Sure,
the guy's explaining. So we're out in the golf course, and Jimbo says, you know, he pulls out the 9-iron. he gets cracks himself. You never get the end of it, but he just laughs. So
I
he shuts
just walk
up.
Away when he starts laughing, like, that must be the end. I don't need the second half.
Or the guy, and this is could be guy or gal, who says a joke, everyone. Nobody really responds to it because it's too obvious and not funny. And so they repeat it a little bit louder in the same circle.
I'm going to go with the first one because it's less time.
The guy cracks himself up halfway
again,
in the story.
Again, I wrap it up when he laughs.
Interesting. Let me check. Sorry. That's wrong. Greg, what can you do? It's on the page.
That you actually didn't even look down when you said, let me check. you maintained eye contact and hit the buzzer.
0-4. I'm sorry, buddy. It's never happened on the show.
I feel like Jim Gaffigan right now.
But hang with us. Lick the wounds and hang with us.
Why wouldn't I?
It is now time to do a little something called the news with Teresa Strasser.
President Bush remains unmoved by calls for the resignation of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Here's the president speaking out yesterday on the Today Show.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Right. When he says, here's the voices, he means the voice of the Maker, the Almighty,
right,
explaining the Armageddon is coming, and soon the cleansing will be upon us.
But also the decider.
By the way, I looked up.
This is a wiffle ball argument in the backyard. I'm the decider. You were out.
Yeah, no takeies.
Yeah, decider is actually a word. I looked it up. It's not a common usage, but it is a word.
The decider.
I would argue that if you use a word that most people don't know is a word, but technically right, but you're too stupid to know that you were right technically. When you were misusing your grammar, then you still get the buzzer.
Right. Point of information, decider usually is used to refer to a game that decides. Like if there's a tie, the third game is the decider.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes decider a word, but it is still a word.
All right.
And also you can notice when he's not sure if it's really a word, he immediately says something else to qualify what he just said.
Okay, right now? We got to get a cop for president.
Guy.
Okay, right now, what I'm going to do, okay, right now, involving policy, ma'am. China, could you please step out of the car for me, okay, right now?
Why don't you go ahead and give up your weapons of mass destruction, China, okay now?
Okay, right now. We're going to go ahead and bomb Iraq's nuclear facility, okay, right now, for me?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Now, speaking of important deciders, last night the American people were the deciders when it came to American Idol. It was very shocking because the final two were Chris Daughtry, who's actually favored on many internet betting sites to win the thing, and Ace. And here's what happened.
The person with the lowest number of votes leaving us is Ace.
Yeah.
This is shocking. He's the pretty boy. The viewers are all 15-year-old girls, are they not? Who voted him off?
Well, I'll tell you what. The odds of him winning were 45-1, according to internet betting sites.
Here's how it works. It is sort of half what you look like, half your presence, and half what you sound like. His voice was not on par with the rest of the voices. If it had been close, just a little bit off of what Chris's voice was, or Elliot's voice, he probably would have moved along. But there was a nice drop-off before you got to his voice, so they got rid of him. And Kelly Pickler is a genius because she did the worst out of the evening, but she's so sweet.
Yeah, she's
and
charming.
It's just like Simon's, you know, tearing her a new one. And she's, I'm sorry. And people are voting.
Yeah.
And I want to just say this overall. I'm going to explain this to my young son because eventually he'll get into trouble with the law. Half of, you know, how hard people come down on you in society, whether it's the judge or whether it's the people voting for American Idol, is your attitude. If Kelly Pickler screwed up her song like she did on Tuesday night and then sat there with her arms folded, defiant, well, listen, I stand by you. You don't like it. What do you know? I know better than you. She'd be voted off immediately. But the fact that she almost tears up and says, I butchered it. I'm sorry. Everyone who's about to vote for somebody else votes for her and goes, you know what? I feel so badly about it. And it works that way in court, too.
Yes.
The people that are defiant, the people that show no remorse, they get 1,000 years. Just please, humble yourself, even if you're lying.
Unless you get to one certain job where the opposite is true, when you're the decider.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Who never apologizes, never acknowledges any faults, any mistake.
Mm.
Isn't that uncanny?
It's interesting.
Yes. Greg Fitzsimmons, do you want to know who was the decider in the divorce between Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson?
Outstanding transition.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Let me just revel in the glow of my outstanding transition. In an interview with Rolling Stone, which hits the stands Friday, Nick Lachey comments on rumors about Simpson's infidelity, saying he wishes that he had just walked in on her in bed with a guy because, quote, that would be clear cut, end of story. I wouldn't have to deal with the uncertainty of adultery. He also admitted to Rolling Stone, I'd marry her all over again because I still love her.
Wow.
So he wasn't the decider.
I think it was Fitzsimmons, 6-month-old, that actually was the man.
Yes. Yeah, and his foreskin.
Yeah,
she saw he had a little extra on the tip.
People always do that. It's not knowing. It's not knowing.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Knowing if you knew the guy
that's
who
better?
Banged your wife, all
well,
of a sudden you sleep like a baby?
He said it would be better to have walked in on his wife with another man than to not know.
No.
I bet that probably wouldn't be true.
Yeah.
Right.
Walking in on Johnny Knoxville and Bam Marger or whatever his name
right.
is.
Right.
I think you have to qualify that. I want to walk in on the guy as long as he's smaller than me.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You don't want to walk in on a giant, muscular man pounding away at the woman in the way you never could, and then he kicks your ass.
Right. And then takes his sex out on you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, he's double dipping.
You're lying there in a heap, and he's just taking the manhood right out of you.
Yeah. Turns out he was a wrestler in high school.
He had a state champion.
He's clinging on to you like a sloth.
That's right. You're trying to tap out, but no such luck.
No, he's not done.
You're screaming at your kid to hit him with a folding chair.
Another beautiful love story, an explosive story, about a very devoted girlfriend in El Salvador. When she went to visit her man in prison, she was smuggling both marijuana and a grenade in her girl parts.
Wow.
Prison officials aren't saying how they found the grenade, but after she was arrested, they determined it was live.
Wow. I hooked up with a chick that was smuggling a bear trap in there. I don't want to tell you how I found out, but I'm still smarting.
Wow.
I got to tell you.
It seems unpleasant.
Yes. Horrible weekend for the Ace Man. A grenade and drugs?
Yeah, marijuana and a live grenade to her boyfriend in an El Salvadorian prison.
That's got to be a tough pitch because I can't get my old lady to take the garbage out. I can only imagine that pitch. Sweetie, gonna need you to do me a favor. What do you want? What do you want, a cupcake or something? No. You know that grenade I've been keeping? Yeah. I'm going to need you to take that to me.
How?
It's going to involve some of that oral gel.
Okay.
And a whole lot of margarine.
That'll last. So, and you know what, honey? Could you compartmentalize? Can you not put them both in the same place?
Because you don't want the reefer touching the grenade.
Right. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise baby update.
Mm-hmm.
According to People magazine,
He's still a baby?
Yeah. Katie Holmes did have an epidural, and it also turns out that she gave birth right down the hall from Tom Cruise nemesis Brooke Shields, who had her baby on the same day. By the way, according to the LA Times, Suri, which is their baby's name, everyone's talking about how it means princess in Hebrew, and in Japanese it means pickpocket.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. We have some special tape of the silent birth. Teresa went and got it.
I don't know, Greg, if you're ready for this.
I'm ready.
This is exclusive audio tape, exclusive for the Adam Carolla Show.
You guys
have
a lot of access here. It's amazing.
Yeah, we actually have exclusive footage of the audio footage of the tape of the silent birth that took place yesterday, the Tom Cruise silent birth. Can we hear that? Here we go. Wow.
Actually, I just bumped.
Wow.
I didn't have it queued up.
Oh, you didn't queue it.
Sorry.
Oh, that was just actual silence?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not very good at my job. Hang on.
I will queue it up, would you, this time? Because I thought I heard Cruise, and as it turns out, there's nothing.
There it is.
So that was real silence.
Yes.
All right, but now we have tape of the silent part.
I got it now.
It's queued up?
Yes.
All right, hit that. Everyone listen. Eerie, isn't it?
Boy, you could sell that for a lot of money.
I talked to Bruska yesterday. All these entertainment shows are going to want this tape.
The Insider, they don't have that.
By the way, did you see all the, did you watch those shows last night?
Sure.
Crazy race. They keep announcing the race is on for the picture, the first picture of this baby Surrey thing, people camping outside the mansion and stuff for this sort of thing. Ace, I would like to negotiate a deal with you for when your twins are born.
All right.
I'll split the deal with you. I'll split the loot with you. Let me have exclusive access to the Corolla twins.
The kid doesn't look, you know, you want the picture of the kid at 5 or the kid leaving rehab at 17, but at age 8 hours, they don't look like anything.
Now, you want to make some real money, get a photo with a father.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the tape again? Did you cue the tape?
Was that the silent birth
that
again?
That was a solid joke. Come on. That was it. I was sitting on that one. I was so excited, waiting for a lull, which is tough with Corolla. And finally, found an opening, took a shot. I'm taking top left corner.
I liked it. It took a second to register.
I'm sorry.
Slow-witted.
Brusca was handing me something the second you dropped it. You want to try it again?
Try
or
again.
Should we?
You want me to set it up?
You people are really cruel. Now you're trying to turn me into the chick you drive across the country with that tells the jokes twice. I'm not her.
All right. Well, then we'll keep moving. Are you good? Okay, right now?
Yes. Yes, we will keep moving. One last story. A science story, which is rarely reported on here on the Adam Carolla Show. But a Canadian professor is concerned about a new breed of roosters that are, quote, sexually aggressive sociopaths. See, normally roosters have a complicated mating ritual, including pecking the ground, kicking up dust, and dancing around the hen. But this new breed, specifically bred to become food, is skipping foreplay and forcing themselves on the hens, much like Greg Fitzsimmons, his wife, yesterday.
Wow.
Apparently, their courtship instincts are being bred out.
Interesting.
Because they're just being bred to be food.
Oh, so they're like, look, if we're going to be eating, we're getting it on.
Right.
Screw the oral. We're going right to the main course.
It was easy to do. They just played rap music for the roosters.
Now I'm going to overcompensate. No, that is fun. It's always bad when people are saying it's funny and not laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's clever. That's solid.
That's like doing stand-up at the Friars Club.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
hey,
that's funny.
Listen, that's A-list stuff.
That's dynamite.
You definitely keep that so the next time you do it, people can explain to you how funny it is and not laugh.
Yes, because it's surprising how much people just start talking about new breeds of roosters that don't do foreplay. And then you could use it.
It's
when it comes up.
Hip pocket.
Greg Fitzsimmons is here, by the way, going to be at the Hollywood Improv. Doing his intellectual brand of comedy.
Jeez.
Yes.
Friday at 8:30. Two shows on Saturday. Now, normally, it'd be time for one Dave Damashek to do his sports, but a little surprise. We didn't, in fact, bring the deaf frat guy in here to do the lottery report. We're actually going to try him out in the sports department.
Oh, now, wonderful.
Now, Dave, don't take any offense to this, but there is a little shift going on here on the show. We've gotten a lot of emails and stuff. People, not exactly what you call
phone calls.
Fans. Alfonso?
Yeah.
You like Dave's sports?
Well, yeah. I like Dave. He brings me back to the old times where the old recordings of the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Sports reporter.
Thank
That's
you.
Great. But if we can have a little bit of news, say, Supercross, the bowling tour, ping pong.
Yeah, the big three, ping pong, Supercross, and the bowling tour. You ignore them. It's the elephant in the room.
Guilty.
All right, so not everyone's a fan. We thought we'd let the deaf rat guy give sports a try.
I'm sorry, bro, but I really need a job once I graduate.
Right. And if he nails it, we'll talk. That's all. So now it is time for a special sports edition starring the deaf rat guy.
It's time for
Deaf Frat Guy.
Number one sports. Number one sports. Do it.
Deaf Frat Guy.
In the American League, the Yankees beat Toronto. Schilling improves to final and then Rath knocked off the Devil Rain.
So far, better than Dave, but let's see. He may trip up.
A 7-run fifth helps the seasoning Oriole rally past the Indian.
Is that the silent bird?
The Tigers spank the A's. The New York Mets were beaten by Atlanta. Lance Armstrong apparently wants to run in a marathon.
Really?
Yeah, in New York. He wants to run instead of bicycle racing.
Right.
Tiger Woods is taking a break off the PGA Tour while his father battles cancer.
Good. You know, they do that whenever I would jump in when Dave is doing his stories, Deaf Rat Guy, so I only feel it's fair to do it with you. But whenever you see these Tiger Woods interviews, I saw it on 60 Minutes a few weeks back, we hail this guy as a hero because he's at the driving range at 6 a.m. and he sometimes doesn't leave till 8 o'clock that night. 14 hours hitting a golf ball. What a hero. What an a-hole. You know what I mean? I mean, the fact we give praise in society for guys who do one thing and just do it over and over again, that's not a guy you'd want to hang out with.
I'd be the best player in the world at golf if I hit golf balls 12 hours a day, too.
Tiger Woods is like Sully. He'll do it if he's playing ping pong. He'll try to win.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, where they try to explain how competitive he is. Hey, listen, whether we're playing golf or playing checkers, I want to win. It's like, oh, you sound like an a-hole.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. You're playing with your niece, and you get PO'd because she beat you in checkers?
Yeah, it's arrested development. And then the surest sign of how incomplete he is that he finally starts getting a little bit, and his game falls apart. He hadn't had sex since he was probably...
That's right. He starts nailing a hot au pair, and all of a sudden...
He can't handle it. He can't do two things at once.
He came back after that.
Because he got obsessive with her.
Interesting.
He started nailing her 12 hours a day. Stopped playing golf. He couldn't do both.
Dude, how hot is his wife?
She's smoking hot.
Dude, yeah. And he's got that huge yacht. Imagine nailing that wife on that big boat. That wouldn't suck.
Yeah, he's out on the yacht with her, sexing her down on the deck, right? Sorry, go ahead, Deaf Rat Guy.
So Doom can suspend these two lax players.
Lacrosse?
Yeah, lax.
I think it's lacrosse. Duke Lacrosse, by the way, Greg, my new porn name.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is strong.
Duke Lacrosse.
Thank you for laughing.
I owed you one.
Go ahead, Deaf Rat Guy, I'm sorry.
This guy got suspended. This happens to in our fraternity all the time.
Right.
A lot of times it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a point when no means yes.
Right, I understand. Right.
And this is a very fine line.
Sure.
But I'm not sure if that line has been crossed.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Who are we to judge?
They are innocent until proven guilty.
Plus, mm-hmm. Deaf Rat Guy, I mean, if they were strippers, I mean, they were probably asking for it.
They were probably dressed a certain way.
Right. Look, I don't want you to get emotional on us, but the last time we spoke to you, I know you were smarting over those ladies you met over in Havasu on spring break.
Oh,
who
the gypsies.
Ended up being gypsies and stealing. They thought they were sorority girls from Hungary.
But then they were Bulgarian exchange students. They took us out to party. They said it was going to be a good time. And you know what? It was. Until we woke up and everything was gone. Our watches, keys, cell phone.
I'm just saying, if you have a message to give to those girls, now's the time before the sports is over.
The guy that was with Pucci.
Right.
Sully Moose.
Moose, yeah.
Smitty. Mike F.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find you, girls. If it's the last thing we ever do before I graduate, before I write my thesis, whatever, we will track you, we'll find you, and we'll hunt you down like the dog you are.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't want to digress there, but I know it's still sort of fresh on your mind.
Dude, my homeboy, Matt Leiner, is going up in the draft in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Poochie played poker with the guy.
Really?
Wow.
Poochie's in a regular poker game with the dude.
Now, which one's Poochie?
Poochie's my homeboy who looks exactly like Derek Jeter, but right. He's only like 5'3".
So it's like a super short Derek Jeter doesn't play ball.
Yeah, people think he's Derek Jeter all the time, but they can't believe that Derek Jeter's that short.
Right, okay. And doesn't play baseball.
Poochie's a really cool guy.
Okay, all right. And he gets a lot of tail, right?
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is one of the great characters of all time.
Characters. How dare you?
This has been Deaf Rat Guy doing sports. Hey, if you're not wasted, your day is.
Well, if I could retain some shred of my dignity, I think it's best if I just step down rather than being fired.
I think there's a place for you, Shaq, on the third floor of the Teak House on the SC campus.
Swap place.
Pack your things up and head over there. Deaf Rat Guy, you're in.
Dude, I'm really sorry, but I need to get a job.
Yeah.
5 years of college cannot be going down the drain.
All right, Def Rat Guy, nice job. You're gonna hang with us and go again in the 9 o'clock hour?
Hell yeah.
All right, check. You better start getting drunk or get me some coffee or something. Make yourself useful around.
Done and done.
One of the great things about Def Rat Guy is his acute hearing.
Well, he reads lips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, can he just looks? That's why he has to look at me. Watch. Def Rat Guy, look down. Watch this. Def Rat Guy. See, he doesn't look up. Now, Def Rat Guy, look up. Okay, see, now he looks at me. See, now he can read my lips. You see? Greg Fitzsimmons, everybody. Hollywood Improv, Friday and Saturday. Two shows Saturday. Fits of Laughter in stores as we speak. Go out and get it. Greg, thanks for coming in. Come back anytime.
Hey, thanks for having us. Good luck.
Dick Cavett coming in. Oh, what do we need Greg Dick Cavett for when we have Fitzsimmons? They're the same guy. Tori, I'm sure he's going to tell us about raping his wife. Tori Spelling is coming in. All coming up after this.
Jimmy Brusk is a chubby lesbian. Looks like a dyke with a body made of gelatin. What can you say about this overweight Italian? Jimmy Brusk is a chubby lesbian. A gay woman with giant areolas, and we know he's not afraid to show us. I hope he never reveals his mangina. Katie Lang and Ellen ain't nothing compared to producer Jimmy Brusca, cause he's the queen of the lesbos.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
I like the idea that I started off with him having giant areolas and it's caught on like wildfire.
I'm loving that.
Great ideas.
Out of all the bumps we have, that's the one you pick? We did that yesterday.
Hey, let me say very quickly that Greg Fitzsimmons, very funny, reminds me that at the Improv, Wednesday, May 10th, the big show, the big Adam Carolla show, stage, Christian, a Jew, and the Adam Carolla crew. It's Jeff Ross headlining with Christian, the 13-year-old
Christian
comedian.
Christian, the comedian. So Christian, a Jew, Jeff Ross.
Right, and the Adam Carolla crew.
Right.
It should be some show. Jeffrey Ross, the headliner. Your pal Dag, David Alan Greer.
Wow.
Jeff Richards, Representative Richard Martin. Controversial choice to put him on the stage.
Sure.
And others, HollywoodImprov.com.
That's where you go.
And the Ace Man will be the MC, yes?
Mm-hmm. And
Brusca's areolas will be on display.
I want you to know that all the proceeds will be going to get the belts changed on my Ferrari. At the 30,000. The 30,000 mile service is a very expensive one for those of you. Well, none of you drive Ferraris, but if you did, it's an $8,000 service. They have to do all the belts, all the filters, all the hoses at 30,000 miles. And it's an expensive service.
Money in your wallet that goes in your wallet for a service is rarely referred to as proceeds going to.
So, I'm just saying, I'm up. I'm already at about 29 in change on the Stradale. That's the Ferrari I have. And by then, by May 10th, I'll be over the recommended $30,000 belt, you know, service. Mm-hmm. So all that money will go toward that. So again, it's a good cause.
Yeah, everybody. If it's not enough to support the arts, you also support the Ferrari.
Yeah, those are artists that make that car.
Exactly.
Sure. All right, Def Rat Guy hanging out with us. Def Rat Guy.
What's up, Bill?
He said, going to be doing, we're trying him out at the sports. We didn't want to tell Dave Damashek.
I'm sorry, bro.
That's cool.
I need work.
We were talking yesterday about all these lists that come out with the most beautiful women. They're always way off the mark as far as I go. They always do this one. They always have Princess of Wales, Princess Diana, in the top 10, which is just a kiss-ass move. Nobody thinks she's hot. Only the gays think she's hot. She's the chick that your mom wants you to be attracted to, but you're not. Mm-hmm. You're not into that. Short hair, big ass.
FHM, by the way, had Danica Patrick. Is she one of the 100th hottest women in the world?
I've met Danica Patrick in person more than once. Danica Patrick is good looking for somebody who does something for a living. For
cute
a woman who, she's definitely the hottest female who races a car, but it's like the hottest, I guess the hottest nuclear physicist female doesn't make the top 100 list. She's just hot for somebody who does that for a living. Sorry. Def Rat Guy. Sorry, Maverick. What were you going to say?
How hot is Paris Hilton looking these days?
She looks the same.
How
looks the same
is
she always
now?
Looks.
That's hot.
She looks the same. Yeah, here's some other. First off, here's another one that drives me nuts, too. The Sarah Michelle Gellar. Nothing wrong with her. Not fat.
Not in the top 100, though.
No.
Right.
Not even close. And somehow the Eva Longorias who come in at 13 and the Lindsay Lohans at 14. Elizabeth Hurley, 75. Petra Nemkova, the one who survived the tsunami, 76.
Obviously, they should be ahead of Eva Longoria and people like that. But the hottest women, the best confluence of foxes is on the TV commercials now.
Yes,
this
most
is where
desirable.
You find the beauties. You find, you know, and as we have sitting out in our green room now. We called for her yesterday. I cast aside FHM's list of the 100, and I gave my own.
Yeah.
And right at the top of it, the Overstock.com lady.
Hot. In Foxy. German, we found
yes.
out.
She sits there in her little tennis outfit, her underpants exposed.
Glistening.
Yes. Dewey from a spirited match of tennis.
Sabina. Yes, I've worn out the pause button on my TiVo watching that Overstock.com commercial. So we found her. We brought her in. I'm
Def
not sure we're going to know
her. How hot is she, bro?
She's hot. That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying.
You're familiar.
A lot of these girls on the list, they're 3 beer chicks.
Right.
Some of them are even 6'7" beer chicks.
Mm-hmm.
The girl from overstock.com.
One beer.
One beer. And one beer, and it's take her to the boneyard.
Oh, well, now, please.
The bone zone.
Please, please show her some respect when she comes in here, Def Rat Guy.
Oh, I'm nervous.
I'll throw her more than respect.
Oh, no, no, no. Come on, really. Jeff?
Yes.
You, I see the screen, you think the Hyundai girl's hotter. This is the hottest woman on television right now.
The Overstock? She's pretty hot.
No, no, she is. She's hot, but I think the Hyundai chick is even hotter.
I think she squeaks it out, too. I think she's slightly hotter.
We're talking about the commercial where the chick, she's a hot brunette, she's getting undressed in an elevator. She's in an elevator full of suits, full of businessmen types. She takes her hair out of the bun. Looks like she's getting naked in the elevator. When the doors open, it exposes her in a sports bra and cycling shorts. She's running out to do some spirited mountain biking with her equally hot blonde friend who's picked her up in a Hyundai. She is piping hot as well.
Yes.
Certainly, yeah.
It's nothing, no better look than the sports bra.
Yeah, men love sports bras, and I've always wondered why.
Well, they do some, I don't know if it's the fact that what they're doing
they
when they're in
you.
It.
They flatten you down.
Yeah, but they do give you some cleavage, too, if you have it. Or maybe it's just, she was a solid natural D cup because I ran it in slow motion on the TiVo, and she was jiggling when she got out of the elevator. She was on the run. Yeah.
I like a girl who's just, to be with a girl who's just exercised. I think there's something really sexy about it. On the other hand, I don't like someone who's not very clean down below.
Right.
Or who has just been with the Green Bay Packers.
I see. So those are the two caveats when you're with a woman. Cannot be the professional football team, and you must be clean down below.
Seems fair.
Okay. Hang on a second, Def Rat Guy, because we're going to... Wait, the Milky Way commercial. Who's this chick? Justin?
Yeah.
You like the chick from the Milky Way commercial?
Oh, dude, she's hot.
And which one is that?
It's the one where, I guess, a guy's going on a date, gets rejected, then comes back to his car, and he sees the Milky Way in the car, and then he opens it. Hot chick pops out, says... Why so blue, Panda Bear? And then he's like, whatev. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like high on mushrooms? Or this is an actual commercial?
This is the actual commercial.
Is it brand new?
I don't know. It was on Spike Television the other day. It was hilarious.
Have to look out for that one.
Obviously not hilarious, you guys.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it, and I pride myself on watching more TV.
Yeah.
And hence more TV commercials than anyone alive.
Yeah. Well, that's Ashley's sister.
You know
what?
Her?
Yeah, the Milky Way chick.
That's Ashley's sister?
Yeah, Ashley.
Which Ashley? The one who's...
No.
The one that looks like Misha Barton? The Tridel?
Yeah, the one that looks like Misha Barton.
Your ex-girlfriend.
Don't go there.
Wow.
Wow. That sounded like it ended badly.
But not the one... Yeah. Who's the other Ashley?
Well, there's this other Anthony who's got a shaved bush.
Shaved downstairs. But not the sister of that Ashley. The Tridel.
No, this is the Tridel that looks like Misha Barton.
Her sister
is the Milky Way girl.
Wow. Wow, so you're in.
Small world.
She's really hot.
Well, he's not in anymore. Ashley dumped him.
Yeah.
I don't want to revisit any painful
Ashley
things.
Ashley has the shaved bush.
Another girl named Anthony died.
Listen, Teresa, I'm sorry, but you got here too late. One of them looks like Misha Barton. She's the Tridel. The other one shaved downstairs. It's two Ashleys.
Jason had a thing. Maverick had a thing with Ashley the Tridel.
But then Moose snapped with her, and she started calling him Quick Draw McGraw. And I went on the show and dropped a bombshell. Right. I said that Ashley and I were more than friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the bombshell was, down below, she's not exactly April friend.
Wow. All right. Now, that's a man's scorn there, so we don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, sour grapes.
Yes, that's what it was
or
like.
Worse.
Scott?
Hey, Adam.
Who's your favorite commercial girl?
Hey, it's that, I think it's a Wilson commercial, Wilson leather commercial.
Yeah, House of Suede.
Right. where it's a guy and the girl sitting in a lounge, both doing their kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in, like, the most revealing, business suit, but with a leather jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eyeing each other across the lounge. And the guy walks up, you know, drops his keys off, you know, to his room on her table. And so she sits there for a little bit. And then...
All right. It's too long.
It's a great story.
Your explanation of the commercial can't be longer than the actual commercial.
Well, I'm looking her up online. I'm trying to find her online. And if it's this one, she is fine.
Oh, yeah. That girl's pretty. A redhead.
Okay. Yeah. Point is we could go all over the dial here, but we have the hot overstocked chick, Sabina from Germany. She's coming in. So we'll take a break. Def Rat Guy, keep your hands to yourself now. It's a very beautiful woman.
That's the way I like it.
Okay. We'll be right back after this.
It's all about the O, and the O is all about the codes. Sometimes it's all about the outdoors. It's all about the office. It's all about the home and books, music, and videos. Then again, on occasion, it's all about the gold.
Wow.
Save on thousands of products at Overstock.com. It's all about the O.
Sabina Ehrenfeld is in studio. She's the beautiful Overstock.com woman Dave and I fell in love with when she was in her tennis outfit. That's when I first discovered her, Dave.
What a vision.
She is beautiful.
Better than I could have
taller.
Even imagined.
Taller.
Yeah, that's true.
In person, too. Well, Dave, we had Def Rat Guy, Jason. Don't call me Jason. Call me Maverick.
Please stop leering. He can't hear
Dude,
me.
I'm between the Overstock.com girl and Teresa. This definitely doesn't suck.
Well, the point is he took your place during the sports, doing the sports this morning. Now, since you booked her, since she was your find, why don't you take my place,
cool.
Do an interview with her.
It's intimidating looking her in the eyes.
It's beautiful.
It is, but I got so many questions for you. I've longed for this moment for too long, and where to begin. So, that Overstock.com commercial, was it fun?
Yes.
Cool. Did you write that Overstock.com commercial?
No.
So do you really like Overstock.com?
Yes.
It's a tougher than you think, right?
Do you like to shop for stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are the people at Overstock.com, are they cool people?
Yes.
All right, hold on. I got to jump in, Dave. It's not going well.
Were you nervous or?
A little nervous.
I mean, I thought you guys have more to talk about than.
You're obsessed with her.
She is pretty.
She's a good-looking woman. And you know, if she doesn't, if
hey,
she wasn't
Dave,
hot enough.
You're cute, too, baby.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Oh.
You're a lot cuter than you sounded.
That's an easy one.
Ooh, la la.
Really cute.
I agree.
He's very cute.
Sabina speaks French, German, and Italian. And I'm going to add English to that, too, yes?
I do speak English. Actually, I can speak a lot more than I just did.
Where are
Dave
you?
Dave make me so nervous.
I know.
He has that effect.
You're not the first, baby.
Where are you from? Where were you born? Tell us your story.
I was born in Mannheim, Germany, and raised there for 20 years. And now I live here. I traveled a lot. I was a model and lived in Italy for 6 months when I started out modeling. Traveled around. That's my big passion, is traveling.
Yeah.
And then I ended up
Mine
here.
Too.
Yeah?
We're so alike.
We have so much in common, Dave.
We really do.
My passion is talking to people whose passion is traveling. So it's one removed. I don't actually want to leave my house, but I am interested in their travels.
We can talk a lot about travel, Adam.
You know what I like about you, Sabina? Everything. No, what I like about you is, you guys jump in, there's sort of two types of models. There's the super waify heroin model. And I'm not just talking about thin. I'm just talking about the drawn look and the circles under the eyes and stuff. Too much attitude, sort of Euro trash. And then there's the beautiful girl next door sort of model. Maybe a little more accessible. A little more what you wanted when you were in high school. Sabina has
like
that in spades. Yeah. Nice. Whose idea was the tennis outfit? That was a stroke of genius. They should win.
Wasn't it?
They should win a Clio for that.
We never knew that was going to be such a hit.
Well, putting you on the sofa that way and moving the camera down on the tripod just a little bit was
Did
a stroke
really
of genius.
Did you see my underwear? I don't think
I'll
so.
I'll tell you, once I had it enlarged... Maybe I'm saying too much, but when I took the hard drive from the TiVo down to some friends of mine over Industrial Light and Magic and had it worked on just a little bit, yes.
It was there.
I could see something eventually.
It was treated like the Zapruder film.
That's right. So speaks three, four languages, has a private pilot's license. You and Dave. How about you hop in your single-seater? You hop in that Cessna? You two head over to, like, Catalina for lunch date or
that. Let's not stop there. You and
that's
I will go
place.
On a trip.
No, that's a good
we'll
one.
Start there, and then we'll continue our trip all the way to Cloud Nine.
Cloud Nine. Catalina's great.
Cloud Nine's I've the name of his that. Futon, by the way.
Have you ever seen the movie
you
Top Gun?
Yes, I have.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
So it's the best movie ever.
What's the best part in that movie?
Just the whole part when they're training and they're playing that song, The Highway to the Danger Zone.
Yeah, right.
And you can just, the bass is just kicking butt.
I think Sabina, I think what Def Rat Guy wants is some attention. He is named Maverick, like Tom Cruise's character. He wants you to fawn over him a little bit.
Hi, Maverick. I think Maverick is so cool. You look just like him, actually. Look at that. Take the glasses off, and there we go. Don't you think?
Well, striking.
I like.
Striking.
Would you ever sing to her, You Lost That Lovin' Feeling, like in Top Gun?
Give it a shot.
Do you know the song?
No.
It's your favorite movie.
I know, but I only like the image.
Oh, I see. You're getting a little bummed out now?
I'm sorry.
One time, Pucci chartered a private jet.
Really?
Just to go to Vegas for the weekend. That's the kind of guy he is.
Wow. Def Rat Guy. Chewing the fat with Sabina the Overstock.com girl. And how, just so we can get a little plug in, how does it work? How does that work? I see the commercial. I'm so busy staring at you in your tennis outfit. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I said, right.
Yes. What is that, Overstock.com?
Overstock started with selling Overstock merchandise, but now they're a lot bigger than that. And it's a great company. To tell you the truth, I don't like going out shopping, so I shop there all the time.
On the internet.
Yeah.
What do you wear when you sit at home and surf the internet?
It depends how hot it is outside.
Ooh, tennis outfit.
She's nodding.
Is Overstock girl married?
The Overstock girl is not married anymore.
Perfect.
Dave's going to be divorced soon, too. And he's going to need a job. Yeah, so let me give you an example. We, for instance, we ordered last week several cases of Dave Damashek number one sports coffee mugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have no use for them. If we gave them to Overstock.com, they would then sell that stock we don't need and give us, we'd get pennies back on the dollar, but yet we get something back and they would put it on the website, right?
I'll have a talk with them. I'll see what I can do.
See if they can move that. All right, we need to to take a break. I know you're not just about commercials. You also like to act.
I do. I love it.
You didn't come out here from Mannheim, Germany to do commercials. You came out to act.
Yeah, what happened was I had kids. I never really focused on the acting part of it because I wanted to be there for my kids. But now they're older. So
boy and a girl?
Getting back into it. Yes.
How old's the girl?
My daughter's 14.
Okay, so I got to give it about 6 months. Wow, she must be some kind of... She's beautiful?
You will never see her. She is. She's gorgeous. She's amazing.
Well, you know, she's 14, so she'll be going to college in about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Def Rat Guy can show her the campus. He'll still be at USC. He can walk around the campus.
So how hot is Dakota Fanning going to be in two or three years?
She's 10,
you pig. All right, let's listen. You guys can both get your acting chops on. Sabina, we're going to give you a chance to do a little acting with Def Rat Guy by reenacting a very famous scene from a very famous movie after this.
Maverick.
Can't hear much, but he can still drink beer and party every day. Well, he likes chicks, woody girls are always ready to play. Well, Moose gets Woody at the drop of a hat, but he says that he ain't bi. Just a fifth-year senior living it up, hearing loss ain't a crime. He's a Def Rat Guy.
Maverick.
Def Rat Guy. Def Rat Guy.
Maverick.
Def Rat Guy.
Yes, the Def Rat Guy is sitting in studio today. He's doing the sports. Also, Sabina Ehrenfeld, beautiful Overstock.com lady.
Serendipity for the Def Rat Guy.
Yeah,
it's all over Sabina.
Picked a good day to come in. Darren?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Good. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I think we should... swap out Dave and Def Rat Guy permanently.
Done and done. Thanks, Darren.
I think you should go get the shopping carts that are piling up in the parking lot, you creep.
Oh, he's just hurt, Darren.
I understand, but you know what? Why don't we have a petition and do what the listeners want?
Well, it's true. We're living in a democracy.
Yeah.
If you can get enough signatures on that petition that says remove Dave Damashek from his sports chair and replace him with Def Rat Guy, I guess by law, we'll have to abide by it.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Darren. Work on that petition. I'm going to need.
How about just call in petition?
All right. People call it.
So you would leave it up to a listener vote?
No. I'm going to need to see at least 3 signatures, not including yours, Darren. 4 with yours. All right?
Okay.
All right.
I think we can make that happen.
All right. Well, knock yourself out. Now, Dave Damashek is a very important part of the show and can't be replaced. Sorry, Maverick.
Isn't there a way we could both work together?
That's interesting. Maybe we could work that out.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, you get Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right. Dude, I can't come in. Wednesday night is poker night.
We'll work out the details.
Yeah, we'll work out the days. Point is Sabina's here, the beautiful, beautiful Overstock.com woman. You've seen the commercials. Dave and I both fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now our fantasies have come true. We brought her here in the flesh. And again, something more alluring about the, everyone knows about the starlets and the sitcom ladies. And
Pat O'Brien makes it so that we know everything there is to know about these. Now the commercial women, the beauties like Sabina, the Overstock.com lady, she remains mysterious, alluring.
Well, she came here from Germany to act, and act she shall do, because we went and pulled a scene from When Harry Met Sally. Def Rat Guy, I guess you're going to be Harry.
Hell yeah.
And Sabina, you'll be Sally.
Okay.
The very famous scene from When Harry Met Sally. Here we go.
Action.
You know, I'm so glad I never got involved with you. I just would have ended up being some woman you had to get out of your bed and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning and clean your andirons. You don't even have a fireplace. Not that I would notice.
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
Hey, I don't feel great about this, but I don't hear anyone complaining.
Of course not. You're out of the door too fast.
I think they have an okay time.
How do you know?
What do you mean, how do I know? I know.
It's because they...
Yeah, because they...
And how do you know that they really...
What are your thing? That they fake orgasm?
It's possible.
Get out of here!
Why?
Emoting.
Most women at one time or another have faked it.
Well, they haven't faked it with me.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot. You're a man.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just that all men are sure it never happened to them, and that most women at one time or another have done it. So, you do the math.
You don't think that I could tell the difference?
No.
Get out of here.
Oh. Oh.
Are you okay?
Oh, God. Yes. Yes.
Oh, no, Fabric.
Oh, yeah.
No, Fabric.
Oh, right
no,
you yes. Don't. Yes. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yes.
Feels great.
Oh.
Like oh. That. Keep going.
Oh, that was so good.
Keep going oh. Like that. Oh. I'm going to not.
The deaf rat guy yeah, that was that for me.
That was wonderful.
Yes. I'll have what she's having, is how the scene ends in the movie.
Teresa playing the old Jew.
Right, thank you.
Well done.
I hope Dick Cavett is listening on his ride in. He's on the phone with his manager right now. Who are you going on after? The chick from the Overstock.com commercial and some guy called Def Rat Guy.
Moose, that was for you, bro.
All right, no more shout-outs to Moose. Sabina, that was nice work.
Did you like that?
Yes. Commitment. I was this close until Def Rat Guy jumped in with his grunting.
Dave, she has a sexy voice.
Yeah, you do. Everything about you. It's all perfect. All right, we need to take a break. Sabina, I'm going to need you to go ahead and crawl into the trunk of my automobile and wait there until you feel movement. All right?
All right.
All right. Sabina from Overstock.com. God bless you. Def Rat Guy, nice work there. We're going to do news. We're going to do sports. We'll do it a little bit early because the great Dick Cavett is coming in and also Tori Spelling after this.
Hey, Moon, Big Ted with the Adam Carolla Show, and you're on the phone right now with me. Prove to me you're not crazy.
My mother, doggone, the government. Government dog, taking Detroit and up and up New York. No, I am pleaded crazy to get in under that whistling of the gum. I had to crawl under equalize then because he's going to make me as he looks.
Wow, that's it. I have this theory that crazy people don't know they're crazy, otherwise they'd stop acting so goddamn crazy. Tad hit the street. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
This guy actually does know he's crazy.
He does?
Yeah, he calls in all the time. But he went off his meds, and he got some new meds. And for about 2 weeks, right when you were first starting the show, mm-hmm. he was lucid and clear and would call up every day. And then people stopped talking to him, so I think he went back on his meds.
Medication time.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, got to take those meds. Thank you, Bill. Gay board op Bill, pre-op board op Bill. Def Rat Guy in studio.
What's up, bro?
Thanks for hanging out. Got the sports coming up with you and Dave Damashek. We decided to combine you two to make one super sportscaster. You know, you guys are like a power couple. You have certain deficiencies in the sports department. Dave has, but together, you're whole.
A perfect complement.
You complete each other. You're the yin and the yang. Of sports, so you guys will tag team this next sports coming up. Also, Dick Cavett.
Speaking of tag team,
yeah. Now you say,
go
speak
ahead.
Your mind.
There was a certain incident over spring break, which I'll get into later.
Oh, really? You and Moose, or
it involves Moose, me, a specific. Foreign exchange student and an STD.
Wow.
Wow.
That's tough.
This is how she repaid me for stealing my wallet, keys.
I see.
Why don't you move on? You and the Overstock.com lady seem to hit it off.
Yeah. This is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Yeah.
It hasn't cleared up yet?
The doctor says, be patient.
That's tough. Ironic and tough when he's asks a patient to be patient.
It's hard to do my thesis, too.
Right, with all the scratching.
Ulcerated lesions.
All right, Def Rat Guy, just reel it in just a little bit until sports. I know you're the hormones are raging at your age, and you like the party, but it's a more professional environment we like to create here.
So let's talk about that MILF that was just in here.
She has a 14-year-old daughter.
I know, she's a total MILF.
You would go out with her?
Hell yeah, dude. She's a total MILF.
We understand. All right, hang tight, Def Rat Guy. We're going to move forward with the sports and the news. Dan?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Do you have a career suggestion for Def Rat Guy?
Yeah, just an idea. And I think it would be something he'd enjoy. And then you and the listeners and I think, would like to hear about his progress as he becomes a therapist or counselor going to school. And we would get his impressions about how to approach people and listen to them. Well, yeah, I understand that.
Right. The thing about this story is it's super long and super drawn out.
But Adam, that's
it's
why
a super boring premise as well.
Yeah, but I'm no. Because, I mean, that's why I'm not on the radio.
Wait a minute. You are on the radio. You're on the radio right now, boring the bejesus out of all of us.
I actually don't think this is a bad suggestion. There's Dr. Phil. Why not Dr. Frat? Yeah.
I'm only on for, this is my 15 seconds of or minute or two of fame.
Right.
Feels like a minute.
Yeah.
But Def Rat Guy would...
Dan, let's just do this for a second. Let's just do a dry run. Maybe you're calling in, you have a problem, you want some advice from Def Rat Guy?
I could do that.
All right, what is your... He can't obviously hear you over the phone, but I'll go ahead and translate. What is the problem?
Let's see, I'm having conflicts with my upstairs neighbor.
Be a little more specific. You live in an apartment, they're making noise in the middle of the night?
Yeah, and I don't know how to tell them to quiet down.
Okay. Def Rat Guy, put on your problem-solving hat. Maybe this is a new role for you. This gentleman's having difficulty with his upstairs neighbor, all right, partying all night, making too much noise. How to resolve that? How do you do that?
Two words, potato gun.
So you're just a therapist, and it all can be distilled down to potato gun. Whether you want to break up with a girlfriend, whether you're having, so it's like, we'll try some scenarios.
Example, we had an incident with the Sammy and some pumpkins that were not getting cleaned up.
They smashed your frat house with pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
We told them, you clean those pumpkins up, or we're going to come down there and do a dance on your faces.
Right.
Then nothing happens, right? They disrespected us until the potato gun came out.
I see. So just to do some different scenarios that could probably be cleaned up with a potato gun, like if someone was to call in and say they just don't feel like they're communicating with their partner, they don't feel like their partner's listening, what's the solution?
The solution is to use Pam or whatever aerosol spray and lube up the chamber of the potato gun first. So do it in a way that's menacing so people know that you mean business.
All right, so potato gun. Short answer, potato gun.
And blue potatoes that they sell in the supermarket, they're pricier,
right?
But they're smaller and more firm.
You're saying the ballistic quality of the blue potato rivals that of the russet.
And the blue is somehow more menacing.
Right, all right. One more scenario. My family and I are estranged. It's been a number of years since I've spoken to my father. I don't know if we can ever rebuild this bridge. Give me the tool to rebuild the bridge between me and my father.
Because it's your father, I may suggest perhaps a water balloon. But if the problem has escalated to the point where it's so many years, I think the potato gun.
All right, one more. One more. My wife of 9 years, I just found out she has ovarian cysts. She's going under the knife this weekend, and I'm nervous as hell. How do I cope? How do I blow off steam? How do I cope with this new tragedy?
Go to the supermarket and splurge on a Russet or a Yukon Gold or some kind of potato that you may not have done before. Naturally, people will go for the red potatoes, boilers,
right.
They call them. But a deep, a dark Russet potato with that oval shape.
One more quick one. I was molested as a young person. My uncle... Well, he said he was my uncle. Turns out there's no blood between us. He repeatedly and savagely molested me in the basement of our Wisconsin home. Now, I want to confront him. What should I bring?
If you go to a place, they have these mesh bags. You can get a dozen. You can get a variety of potatoes. Idols, Rosses. Red, blue.
Right.
But all... For a different variety of potatoes.
Right, so you're saying one, you know, tragedy strikes the family, you lose an infant to SIDS. That's one potato.
Right, like a yam or
and
something.
And then dealing with molestation, that's another potato.
Right. It's like, when you're drinking beer,
right.
It's like a 3 beer buzz, a 9 beer buzz, 14 beer buzz. Problems on this same way... Where it's like a 3 potato problem. Dude, I don't mean to say this on the radio, but Moose got molested by his own.
And did he solve it with the potato gun?
He's working it out.
With the potato gun?
He doesn't know where his uncle is.
Right.
But when he finds him, he says that gun is going to be so lubed up with Pam. That dude will be eating potatoes till the cows come home.
Wow. You know, I feel that way because, you know, I've been in therapy on and off for, you know, 15 years, and I just feel like it's a lot of money, and I'm not sure if it's doing anything. Maybe we could all save ourselves some money and some grief by just getting a potato gun, working it out that way. I agree.
When you're at the store, get the real Pam, the brand name Pam.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The generic is good.
Right.
But it's not the same as real Pam.
You get a little more muzzle velocity out of the real Pam?
Good to know.
Okay.
And really looping up.
Right.
Is there ever a time to talk it out or just always shoot it out?
There is something that is so controversial. I don't even want to stand on the radio.
Wow.
But have you ever seen those mini pumpkins?
Right. You can actually fire a cord into your
phone.
Because
you can take the stem and sharpen it into a point.
Wow. Now, be careful. Be careful, Deaf Rat Guy. We have a lot of young people listening who are going to get wild ideas about solving problems with miniature gourds.
We had a little conflict with the Black and Latin Student Unions.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well... Put it into way.
Yes.
Put it into way. They saw those mini pumpkins. Problem solved.
Oh. All right. Well, I'm going to need you because if I, you know, I have twins on the way, and if a few years from now they come up to me and maybe they're struggling with their sexuality or maybe they're just not doing their homework, whatever it is. I'll need Deaf Rat Guy to come in with the potato gun and straighten things out at the Corolla house. I like that. Wow.
Hell yeah.
Well, I think we need to take a break now. I'm out of breath.
I think we got to blow off news and sports. Dick Cavett's with
us. Oh, is he here?
Yeah.
Dick Cavett's here. Oh, he's going to be excited about this. Dick Cavett, the great Dick Cavett, then Tori Spelling coming in, all after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Cavett.
Dick Cavett in studio. A class act.
I got it.
Oh, plug Mr. Cavett's headphones in, please, Fresca.
Well, they're plugged, but they're just a little staticky, but I'm used to.
Welcome to the show, Dick, if I may call you that.
Or, you know, whatever you like, Mr. Dick.
You're one of these guys who's physically, I wouldn't do that. Who's,
I admire you for letting that pass.
You, you look remarkably unchanged.
This is a miracle of plastic surgery.
No.
No.
No, I didn't have that.
But you look the same as I remember you, or at least a marginally older version, but still very recognizable and very much the same.
I know what you mean. And people say, my God, you haven't changed one iota. You could go right back and put yourself into one of your old shows and they wouldn't notice the difference. But look at two pictures side by side of then and now. And then you will see that time has done its dirty work.
You, will give a plug to, your latest project. You have a 1-hour special. That's with Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Coming up
on Turner Classic Movies. They've bought about eight shows, my old shows, that would be relevant to Turner Classic Movies, like having movie stars on, and Betty Davis and Robert Mitchum and Orson Welles and people. And then as an eighth or ninth show or seventh show, I'll check these figures, as Dwight Eisenhower used to say, I would... let's see, how was it? Anyway, the eighth show will be a new one. That is the one you mentioned with Mel Brooks. And
who do you?
2 hours and 15 minutes we did the other night taping with
Mel Brooks.
Very good audience.
Yeah. How's he doing?
By the way, that wasn't the royal we. I mean, Mel and I did.
Right.
At the end of about 2 hours, he said, haven't we done an hour yet? It went so well. We
like
each other so much, and we swung so together in the thing that it was as if it had only been an hour. It'll be a crime to cut an hour's worth out. Maybe they'll do two shows out of it.
Well, you first interviewed him in what year on the Dick Cavett show?
Oh, I knew you would ask that. It had to be, let's say, between 68 and 75.
And what years did it run from, the Dick Cavett show, when to when?
I started the daytime show at ABC... in 68.
Mm-hmm.
I also know the date of Pearl Harbor and my birthday and one graduation. And beyond that, I'm one of those people who says, really an extreme case of this. Wasn't it about 5 years ago we did this thing? And they say, Dick, it was 21 years ago.
Wow. Where's the
time
gone?
Did you ever think anything in your life would be 30 years ago?
I tell you, I had a weird realization sitting on my sofa where I do my best work the other night. I remember distinctly a car ride I took to the beach when I was about 12 or 13, and there were three or four other kids stuffed into the VW square
bag. This is going to be a molester story, I can see.
Ultimately, every story ends up with molestation on this show, even when we talk weather and sports. But...
Wait, I see something going on right now.
We all, that's my toe.
Yeah, get her out of here.
We all,
sorry.
Me and the other 11 and 12 year olds in the car did a hypothetical. How old will you be in the year 2000? That was our hypothetical. Now, this is circa 1977, 76. And everyone, we had to think for a long time. Let's see, it's 1977 or 1976. Mm-hmm. And then 2000, and I'm 11, or 12, I guess I would be. And then it came out to be 36, I think, 35 or 36.
Inconceivable.
And it was inconceivable. It was like, oh.
Never happened.
I'll be an old man. I'll be walking with a stroke cane yelling at kids to get off my lawn.
I met Mr. Woody Allen, you know, the famous comedian.
Sure.
And movie drive trailer. Mm-hmm. For one of our walks in the park, and he said, Cavett, do you realize that we started doing this 35 or 40 years ago? And I said, oh God, I know. A friend of mine just wrote to me and he said, our birthdays aren't that far apart, Woody's and mine. And my friend had figured that on a certain day coming up soon, you and your friend Woody will be the same age Spencer Tracy was when he made Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Much was...
Now, you picture this old, white-haired, enfeebled man.
Yes.
He was very sick, of course.
Yeah.
But when I said that, Woody said, can we sit down?
It's weird for me. I always think about people like, oh, Jim Morrison died when he was 27. Janis Joplin. I think, who you interviewed on your show. 27, and you think, oh, that was, I would have been a kid at 27. Forget these people that are sort of forever older than you are, or at least older than us.
I can remember specifically thinking, if I could make a Faustian pact with the devil, and they would guarantee me 35 years, I'd take it, because I'm 11 now, and how the hell long is it going to take for 35?
Yeah, and when you're 11, you figure the over-under is 33.
I think, yes, I think Mel... Oh, bring me back to Mel, will you?
Yes, you were talking about Mel Torme. Did that help? Mel Brooks,
yes. Another thing that starts with Mel, but I can't think of it.
I think you were going to talk about Janis Joplin.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Janis, but I also going to talk about Mel. Mel is 80-something, and in this thing we did the other night, he was at peak level, not frantic, fascinating, funny as hell, gut-busting laughs from me and the audience. And he maintained that through 2.5 hours. It's one thing to look all right. He looked 54 when the show ended, and he had looked older when I met him backstage.
Well, that's
He's a born performer.
I got to be honest, the goyim. We age.
Yeah.
The Jews are sort of perpetually 56. I went to high school with 56-year-old Jews, you know, 17-year-olds that are walking slumped over and complaining about the Middle East. But then even at 80, they're still 56. That's the good news.
It stops there, doesn't it? The sand stopped going through the
hourglass. Yeah, they're certain that it better to be black, better to be Asian, and better to be Jewish and be 80 than be white and be 80. At white and 80, you're just an old man.
Well, listen, I picked up the greatest mystery novel ever written. That's just a fact, not an opinion. Mm-hmm. Wilkie Collins' great The Woman in White, 19th century. Not that far back.
Don't spoil the ending for Big Tad. He's right in the middle of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I opened it to something, and a chapter started, Henry, although 52, was still able to get around quite well and dress himself.
Sad.
Thought, 52? How far back is that?
Well, how old are you, Dick, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 79.
Really?
Really?
I'm a horny old chick. that's my Jonathan Winters as Maud Fricker.
Jimmy Brusca's a horny young chick.
Maybe you can figure out my... Yeah, sorry.
79, really?
No, you can pick out my... Oh, God, I convinced him.
I don't... I'm 60...
Where's it lead me to the nearest cliff? I was called in from the yard by my mother, a little friend of mine, and I. And she said, "Listen to the radio. This will mean something." So I was about 5 then, let's say.
So in 19...
No fair counting back.
In 1945,
you were
5.
That's how they used to refer to Japanese people then, which we now no longer do because it's...
Right, so that would make...
Oh, not only that, the bandy-legged little brown bud.
Yes.
I was saying to a lady on the way over here, in the post office, I always love to look at the buy bonds posters. Mm-hmm. And there would be things like a lot of rats with Japanese heads and faces, big buck teeth and round glasses, as we know all
Japanese
have.
Yeah, we do that to the Germans as well.
They were coming out,
Good. Anyone you're fighting, you don't want to put them on a steed and make them look like a valiant prince.
No, the irony, of course, being that Japanese regiment, company, whatever it was, was the most decorated during the entire war, while their parents were in concentration camps in California. But even J. Edgar Hoover, that old drag queen, was against that. Not for the right reasons, of course, I found out. But
we need to take...
You don't think I'm talking about the head of the FBI, do you? That J. Edgar Hoover.
You're talking about another J. Edgar Hoover. Yoko Ono, Groucho Marx... The Rolling Stones.
It's the best. They're all on your new DVDs, which are spectacular. I would say Dick Cavett is the best guest this show has ever had, yes?
Jesus.
Quite
biggest
easily.
Name.
Is this guy a functionary here? Does he work here?
He's been replaced by a deaf frat guy. What's that tell you?
Last night on, what the hell's his name? Larry Kimmel.
Jimmy. Larry Kimmel.
I thought that would be a laugh.
Larry Kimmel live.
Well, for a 79-year-old man, he's relatively lucid.
Well, I expect...
That's the one good thing about getting old. People talk about you while you're still in the room.
Yeah, because you can't hear him anyway.
Yes.
Kimmel is a decent chap, as you know.
I'd give him a five.
But he should have told me that I came on chewing gum, which I do backstage because Bob Hope always chewed gum backstage, and took it out. I forgot to take it out, and I did the show looking like I was about to spit tobacco every few minutes until the lady from... what was it?
Overstock.com?
The lady from...
who else was on the show last night?
Eva
Longoria.
The big Housewives.
Yes.
Show.
Eva Longoria.
Yeah. That's right. Was. Couldn't be anybody else.
Yeah. It's
well,
great.
She criticized me for having my gum in my mouth.
Wow.
So I took it out and put it on the table. And then she said, putting it on the table... I said, sorry, and dropped it in her water glass.
Yeah.
That's the kind of class act I am.
She's
I'm
lucky.
Surprised Kimmel didn't boot me out.
You know what would have been just great, great news? Just backhand that bitch right there. Just pow. Just wipe the smile off her face.
Funny you should say that. I got her good backstage.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Big welt came up on her eye.
Sure. She's not so pretty anymore.
So it looked like the eye of a Jap.
I
met the emperor and his wife, you may think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love Japan. I've been queer for Japan since I was five.
I like that.
And I can talk.
That should go on your headstone.
Yes. They do have the highest life expectancy of any country there. Did you know
that? Said to me once without blinking, better daughter bring home Brahman than a Korean.
Oh,
they loathe it. So when you see someone coming in that,
but they have sushi and koi. You know, any culture that has koi is going to outlive one that doesn't have big goldfish to stare at. If you stare at a puddle of water with huge goldfish in it for about 20 minutes a day, you'll add 10 years to your life.
I love them, and when they look up at, it looks like Tom Cruise.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. Look, hold on. I think they just beeped something out. We're talking about koi, weren't we?
What do they think? They beeped something?
Oh, it's all right, Dick. It's the man.
I don't
want you to do to the guy who hits the dump button what you did to Eva Longoria backstage at Kim Alive. We need to take a break. Dick Cavett.
It couldn't have been Nips and Jeff.
I think that was it.
Oh, that was probably it.
Yes.
Jeff.
Dick Cavett in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back
after
this.
Will I be back?
Oh, yeah.
Even with...
Yo, this is David Alan Grier. Daggy Roney, baby. And you are listening to the Adam Krakatoa Show.
Mm-hmm. Was Elliot Ness the actor or the character?
Dick Cavett.
Hey, man.
I think Elliot Ness was actually the guy from The Untouchables. Not
Elliot Ness.
Just the actor.
Right. Oh, yeah,
He actually was the cop or the FBI guy.
I always love it when flaps like that come around. I was working for Jack Parr when that one did, and I think it's called the Italian Defamation League, and they were upset as they were about the Sopranos. And the great Jack Douglas, comedy writer, said, because they complained that, why do they all have to names like Gambini and Dandun and Dandun? It's obviously intentional on your part. Jack said, why don't they get the gangsters to change their names?
Oh, the actual ones.
Yeah.
Good point. Dick Cavett in studio. Dick Cavett is... where's my card? Ah, here it is.
Yes. One of the last of the greats.
One of the last of the greats with Mel Brooks. Another one of the last of the greats. He's got an interview.
Promise me you will watch that.
I swear on a stack of phone books I will watch. I'm an atheist. That's all I have.
Well, that's okay.
I will watch it on Turner Classic Movies, airing this September. When?
Yeah,
this
I don't
September?
Know. They haven't got the date yet. I guess they're going to canvass the country and see what night most people are home. I have no idea.
I will punch you into my TiVo.
I thought you would just punch me.
I thought you were going to punch him like he punched Eva Longoria.
It was more of a backhand.
Well, yeah.
He's but old school.
I was also doing some damage with my feet.
Oh, really? But that's after she hit the ground.
I'm a trained martial artist.
Oh, I see.
Are you strong and in good shape?
You know, I was thinking about it. We were talking about it there. I have a bad grip.
Uh-huh.
I wish I had a better grip. A lot of guys shake your hand and they crush it. You know, I don't have that.
I have, from martial arts, I've learned some strange stuff, some of it in Japan. And one night I had Mark Gastineau on. Do we all remember Mark?
Yes, yeah, we all.
Great sacker of quarterbacks.
Yes, and of ladies.
When yeah.
And of drugs.
When he faces me, his head is a whole foot higher than mine. His shoulders are about a yard.
Right.
And I said, lift me up under the arms. And he picked me up like I was Joel Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Put me back down. And I said, Mark, and I didn't have the guts to go all the way. So I said, Mark, try it this time. I will mentally make myself heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have a harder time lifting me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to tell the truth. He said, that's what I was like. He gets me under the arms. No way.
Really?
The next day, stagehands, guys working on construction, guy, what was that shit with Gastineau? Come on over here. Let me see if I can lift you, a little faggot. And,
so they call you? The guys
right?
who work on
well,
your
don't
show?
You get abused? No, these were the construction workers.
I get called Brillo Head, but I don't get called faggot by the people that work on my program.
Oh, yeah. All the time, in fact.
And I'm like, since when is bi gay?
Can you remember the worst thing you ever were called in a fan letter?
Oh, yeah, it comes at me like machine gun fire. It's not
it
a single
sticks,
bullet.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I had Jane Fonda on or something
mm-hmm.
Upsetting to people, and I got it. My secretary wasn't going to show it to me. It's a telegram form, not sent, but sent in a letter, but
mm-hmm.
And in sort of a red heavy crayon, it said, from Waco, Texas. Notice I don't say, of course.
Yes.
Dear Dick Cavett, you little sawed-off faggot communist shrimp. I can never forget that. I wrote right back, I'm not sawed off. Kick that crap.
I used to like when calling someone a commie was a good insult, you know? So I'm interested in getting back to you and Mark Gastineau, which I don't see on your list notables that you interviewed.
No, it probably isn't have the highest star quality.
You,
of my
because,
list.
Are you a black belt?
Well, I made him so he couldn't lift me and.
Because you used your mind
so.
Power.
Well, it upset everything in his life. He's certainly capable of lifting. A
but
guy
you made yourself
third
heavy.
His size.
You made yourself heavy by going number two in your pants.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
That's the first thing everybody thinks of. He sat the rest of the show scratching his head because I guess I'd unmanned him in a way.
And what show? Was this on your program?
That's why I asked you if you were strong and so on.
Can I lift you? I can lift you.
I
want to
try and
do you
see
you
if it
try
works.
I think I can lift you.
You want to try?
Yes.
Okay.
Now we'll try it once as Dick Cavett as Dick Cavett.
We're facing
the Joel
each other.
Gray Dick
yeah.
Cavett.
Yes, the Dick Cavett, the sawed off commie.
Sorry.
Dick Cavett.
That's
right?
The one.
Right, the one who goes about 165 pounds, 70 pounds.
Well, thank you. I'm 150.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'll tell a lie. I'm 155.
155.
Yeah.
This is a great interview. I called you 79 and 170 pounds. It turns out you're 65 and 160 pounds.
All right, let's see what happens.
All right,
yeah.
And then
Adam
you're going to make yourself heavy.
With your mind, you can make yourself too heavy.
Adam's going to try to pick up some dick right now. Here
anyone
we go.
In here ever had ballet? Because,
yes,
you know, you
many
think
years.
Upward, and if you don't,
yes.
you can hurt your partner.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Today,
you're
going to commentate. I'm coming over there.
I would like to know if I can think really, really hard to make myself thinner.
It doesn't always work.
Now, do I go behind you?
Corolla approaches the prey.
Really? Oh, this
okay.
is, yeah, this
kill
is me. Tough. All right,
he's so loosening up.
Yeah. Right now, am I allowed to bend?
Let me think. Let me
Corolla
sure
takes a grip
think
under
up.
The
I'm
armpits.
I'm as light as an air. And I'm
light
very
old.
Now, go ahead.
All right. Here he goes.
Lifts him right up, no problem.
Now, you
no
cheated
problem.
A little because he levered your body differently.
I wanted but for I us to touch genitalia.
Some coaching going on
again?
Now. Cabot to Corolla.
I thought you outgrew that.
Oh. Genital contact.
Okay, now this
was
time,
made.
If I think of the hourglass with the sand going down to the floor.
All right, but hold on a second. Before you go too close elevator. There with your mind, I have to think back to watching you on TV at my grandparents' house when I was 11.
Now you're picking him
I'm
up.
Freaking out now.
I'm lift that right. guy someday.
I declared it. I said, either one day I'm going to be an astronaut or I'm going to lift Dick Cavett.
And they laugh.
And they laugh. Listen, now who's laughing?
You're very strong, so right, we're right?
Now, okay,
it's just
thinking heavy. Now.
I can hurt Cavett you if
making
I
making himself
think,
heavy.
With his
heavy.
Mind.
Thinking down.
Oh, man, impossible.
Unable to
impossible.
Lift
he's a wow. he's a lead dirigible.
I'm light again.
That was pretty amazing.
Light again.
Yeah.
Oh, light again.
Let's see
hold
if we can do it. No problem.
Isn't that great? Well, yeah. I jumped to help
what
you.
Happened there?
Adam, could you really not pick him up?
No, I really couldn't.
Not only do people not believe it, but now it's on radio where they can't see it.
Yes. Well, look, they used to do ventriloquism on the radio. Why can't I lift Dick Cavett?
We came here for serious talk, and now this.
Well, by the way, Tori Spelling, when she comes in here, make sure I do the light and heavy Tori Spelling as well.
Yes, the power of the mind.
I thought I was going to get behind him and get, you know, do that Heimlich lift, you know, where I just tilt backward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This one's harder. You got to go forward.
But now can you see how Mark Gastineau felt?
Yeah.
Because you're a manly guy, and you've always had a certain image of yourself.
Yes.
And now you're kind of a sissy.
No, it's as if... When I wasn't able to lift you, I was somehow stripped of my genitalia.
That's it. You put your finger on it. Whoops.
Yes, I know. Now I feel like a pre-op transsexual.
Dick owns you now.
Are you winded from having to pick him up and then having to pick him up when he was heavy? And
Oh, no. Oh, let me. This follows right up on
that.
With Mel Brooks the other night, he did a rare impression of some obscure actor, but you knew the actor from the films and it was perfect. And I thought, I have to top him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mel, do you want to see my Richard Liu? And he laughed, saying, Richard Liu, the Chinese wonderful actor who played evil Japanese in all the war movies. And I said, okay, man, you do Dana Andrews. From the Purple Heart, you say the American flight crew has all been imprisoned by the Japanese.
We should get that frat guy if we're going to do a reenactment.
Well, we don't need... It's a brief one.
All right, what's my part?
You're going to say you'll never get any of my men to talk, Colonel Mitsubi.
All right.
Action.
You'll never get any of my men to talk, Colonel Mitsubi.
I'm coming.
Wait, you took a sip of water right in the middle of my line.
Do it again.
Oh, was that in the script?
Take two.
No, it was in the dry mouth.
Oh, okay. I thought you were method and going for your canteen or something.
Well, I am method, but I don't want to talk about it.
All right, you ready? You'll never get any of my men, Colonel Mitsubi.
I must remind you, Captain, that a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. Doesn't that give you goosebumps?
Dead on.
I got to meet Richard Liu. I had him on a show once. It just thrilled me.
Dead nuts on. All right, Dick, we're plumb out of time and we can't keep a Tori Spelling waiting too long. Promise me you won't beat her out in the hallway. I know you don't like the little ladies.
I didn't even get any jokes like the two bald guys put their heads together and made an ass of themselves. Anything I didn't get to do.
All right, one more.
You got any more?
That's it.
Dick Cavett, you can find him interviewing Mel Brooks. They talked for a couple hours. They distilled it down to an hour. I don't know
they
how.
They haven't distilled it yet. It was only 24 hours ago.
They're going to.
They're going to have to consider doing two parts because it was pure gold.
Turner Classic Movies airing in September. Check your local listings or do what I do. Just punch Dick Cavett's name into your TiVo and everything Dick Cavett will come up.
Yes, including hundreds of copies of the book Cavett that apparently people didn't think enough of to save.
Oh, really?
I think that was a bestseller. And if you haven't read it, I recommend it. Just as a friend. It's so full of good stuff. And comics like Daryl Hammond and others told me that on the road, the part of that book about the hell of being on the road as a comic in my life kept them from suicide a couple of times. Two people have said, I said, literally? I said, yes.
I need that.
Well, I appreciate you letting me pick up the light Dick Cavett and the filled with lead Dick Cavett as well. It's really quite a move. I'll show it to you, Sheck, during the break.
People are going to say, was that real?
Tori Spelling is in here next. Thank you, Dick.
Oh, God, she's such a bore.
Well, go backhand her out in the hallway.
She really? Can't hear us, can she?
I think she may.
Yes. I think she
can. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm. Dick Cavett. A lot of range that man has. Dick Cavett left studio. Tori Spelling. Talk about range. Dick Cavett to Tori Spelling. Good to meet you, Tori.
Hello.
They're basically the same person, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know why you'd book two of the same people on the same day. You break it up.
We have the same audience.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Totally. Bananas on bananas.
Yeah, you heard those references Dick made. Sure. The TV show So Notorious on VH1 Sunday nights at 10 o'clock. The reviews have been very good for this show, yes?
You believe it?
Yeah, because I think they like you poking fun at yourself.
I'm just happy they finally like me.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Well, do you think because you're spelling, because your dad, the whole nepotism thing, do you think that's why the critics turned on you?
I think that's part of the reason, yeah.
Yeah, people decide, if you hear about some guy who came up from nothing, everyone loves Harrison Ford because he was a carpenter. If his dad was an oil tycoon, we would probably all hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad essentially being the guy behind, I don't know, Love Boat, Fantasy Island. I mean,
Charlie's Angels,
just keeps going and going and going. Your father's resume must be insane. IMDb that, Mike, but
it's big. It's as big as his house, I think.
Yes, 54,000 square feet. Do you know how many of Dave's apartments you could fit into the house you grew up in? That's
now,
incredible.
A lot of people like the show, but your mother does not. True?
Did she tell you that?
No, listen, I watch the entertainment shows.
All the talk,
no,
yeah.
She's portrayed by Lonnie Anderson, right? Yes. I mean, who couldn't be pleased by that? Lonnie Anderson.
That's true.
Amazing.
But now are you waging war with your mother over this show?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, my parents, the great thing about them is I'm able to poke fun at myself. They're able to do it as well. And they know everyone's, you know, misconceptions about the family and everything. And that's kind of what we're kind of making fun of.
I want to get back to this house because I love houses. I'm into architecture and everything. And people, literally 54,000 square feet. The house you grew up in. Right?
Technically, I did not grow up there. We moved there when I was 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How big was the house you grew up in?
It was like 53,000 square feet.
Yeah, so it's just...
Tiny. No, I'm just kidding.
Just a shotgun shack at the end of the road.
Right.
Yeah, her place, I think it's across from Hef's place, right?
Yes, it's about like five doors down.
And 54,000, I mean, the average house is about 2,000 square feet. Maybe it went up a little. It used to be more like 1,600 square feet. But if you ever go to a house that's 8 or 10,000 square feet, you go, wow, this is a really big spread. This is a huge place. You need a golf cart to get around. Here, that's at 8 or 10. This is 54,000 square foot. And it's not one of those things where some NBA star builds some place, on some swampland in Jersey. This is right in the heart of the city. Amazing. What do you think that place is worth? Any idea?
Oh, my God. No.
Did you? Why move out if you live there? Would they even know it? Do you know what I mean? Couldn't you just say, I'm going
to... It took them about 4 years to realize I'd moved.
I'm going to beat the South Wing, getting my thoughts together.
Has anyone seen Tori in 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, Tori.
Well, actually, on the show, which I love, by the way, I'm a huge fan of it, Celebrity Reality. It's very, very good and funny, and Tori really pokes fun at herself. But you on the show, you live with a guy based on a real-life roommate you had, and this guy used to bring skanky girls home who were just interested because he was living with Donna Martin from 90210, and he would do dirty, dirty things.
Correct. Well, I mean, all the friends in the show are loosely based on a compilation of different friends I have, so it's not really based on exactly one person.
An amalgam.
Yeah.
I think I was watching I saw a biography on you. I don't know if it was on the Biography Channel or if it was on
VH1
or E! True Hollywood Story. Yeah, you seem game in that. You seem like you participated
mm-hmm.
in it.
I did.
Talked about 90210 days and all that kind of stuff, and then all the movies of the week and that kind of stuff. Talked about the relationships. And you sort of came... I liked you better after I got to know you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
So the self-deprecating thing is the way to go.
I mean, for me, it's just I spent so many years trying to dismiss everything people would say and try to prove myself. And then I finally got to a point where I thought, if this is what they want, if this is the route they're going to go no matter what I do, I just better get on board. Because I was on board anyway. It just wasn't public, and now it is.
I noticed you brought your hunky guy along with you.
Very good looking.
And I'm looking in, I don't know what
Rugged.
Magazine this is, Us. Us Weekly or whatever it is. I see he has a huge tattoo with your name on it.
Is he coming in? Here he comes.
No, here he comes. He has a huge tat with your name on it.
He has a few.
Now, it's smart because...
Hi, babe.
Hi. Now, this is Dean McDermott. How are you, Dean?
I'm good. How are you,
Ruggedly
Adam?
Handsome.
Thank you. I like that.
Dylan McKay's got nothing on this character.
And you guys met working together on a... Movie of the week, Mind Over Murder?
Mind Over Murder in Ottawa, Canada.
Look how they hold hands.
I know, that's so sweet.
But you guys are in love, right?
Yes.
Completely, yeah.
Utterly, madly in love.
And you both were married and you met and you just, that's it.
Yep, that's it.
You knew it.
Head over heels from the moment we said hi to each other, we fell in love.
Really?
I even got the date tattooed in right in here.
Oh, wow.
Wow, let me see that. And it's and it's one of those. Jesus,
that's
Christ.
That's Tori from behind.
Truly, madly, deeply Tori. Is
right
what it
on
says.
His wrist.
On his yeah. wrist.
Oh, wait, wait
if this
the,
goes south, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Oh well, wait for this one.
Oh, he's got her face.
Listen,
and her bosoms.
Yes,
he's got a picture of Tori.
The artist
long,
made them.
Flowing
he actually
locks,
made them smaller. But he
and
first drew them
huge bosoms right by his elbow. Look at
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, from a picture. Christmas Eve when we got engaged.
Now, when are you guys getting married?
This Soon. Summer.
Soon.
Soon.
Yeah, then you'll be living large in that 54,000.
She doesn't live there.
Where I would move in immediately.
I'm looking for a best man, Adam, so if you're free.
I'll tell you, I will do it. And I'll tell you what I would do. Here's my first move. I get married to Tori, I okay. being you. That's first move.
Okay.
Second move is I have Aaron, her dad, declared insane. Now I become the executor. Kick him into a Sears gardening shed that I put on the property, but he won't be allowed in the main house. And then me and Tori move right in with my other lady friends.
That sounds good to me. Let's make that happen.
Well, half's right down the street.
He'll and half's across the street.
Some ladies.
Yeah, half's like, frisbee in the yard again, Corolla? I'll come over and get it. ladies, don't worry. I've seen naked ladies in the pool before. So, and where are your tats, Tori? Do you have any for Dean?
I don't yet, but I'm yet. I'm looking.
But he's literally a Tori Spelling billboard, and you have nothing.
And I'm the mayor.
Now, why don't you get something?
I am. Well, he has truly, madly, deeply Tori, and I want to get truly, madly, deeply Dean.
Mm. And where do you put that?
I don't know. I was thinking about the nape of my neck.
Like the Angelina Jolie spot.
Back there, of the neck, right good, there. But it's a little bit of a cop-out because everyone knows you can let your hair down and cover it, you know? I say you go eyelids. Yeah.
Matches come
eyelids.
Yes, you close your eyes, people know.
Or just my tongue?
Yes.
Actually, the tattoo artist who did my work, he has a star tattooed on his eyelid.
Mm-hmm.
You stick a spoon under your eyelid and do it.
Ooh, good, good.
Yeah. I know. So that's an option, babe.
Oh, awesome.
I hear, oh my God. So, Dean, if you don't mind me prying a little, you guys met and you realized that's it. It's bigger than the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Right. Yes.
Force of nature.
Right.
And then you have to go home from Canada and explain this to the old lady, right? That must have been a delightful evening.
It was tough.
Did you just show her the tattoos? Or that would have been funny. No. So when you read the arm, please.
The writing's on the arm.
Yeah, it says Tori. You don't see your name
that
there.
That would be an original breakup.
I did in ballpoint pen because I didn't have time to
Was that hell? That. Was that the most hellish thing you've had to do ever in your life?
Yeah, you can imagine. I mean, obviously, it's very, very, very difficult.
Yes, people.
It was hard and easy and enlightening at the same time. I mean, it was really a whole whirlwind mix of emotions.
People talk about nothing worse than being dumped. I think, depending on how you're constructed emotionally, nothing worse than dumping somebody physically. I mean, taxing emotionally wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was hard. It was hard not going into much detail.
But is it is it copacetic now? Has she met Tori?
She's met yes. Tori. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that must have been comfortable.
No, things are good. She's a great lady, and you know we're working things out.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have two.
So Tori, you're going to be a stepmom.
Yes,
well, I already am.
Oh, that's got to be surreal. Just take them over to Grandpa's house for a swim. All will be forgiven. I don't know. How old are your children?
7 and 11 months.
If I was 7, I'd be like, Daddy, I hate you. Holy Christ, 54,000 square feet and 5 refrigerators. Dad, forget it.
Give me another bomb.
Give me another push-up. I'll be by the pool.
Bowling alley and all.
I'll be in the gymboree that's floating in the pool. You give me another push-up and a Mr. Pibb. Clean slate, Pops. We're cool. Don't worry about therapy. All is forgiven. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Tori Spelling sitting in studio, so Notorious, VH1, Sunday
and
nights.
And fiancé Dean, and when we get back, he will recreate the moment when he dumped his wife.
Yes. Get Def Rat Guy back in here. We'll be right back after this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of a sudden, we're back to 1993.
Did you watch Bev 90?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, me too.
I watched that and Melrose Place. I couldn't get enough. Oh, turn that.
90210 days.
Turn Dean McDermott's mic up.
Is that right? From afar, yeah. You admired
really?
Him.
Absolutely, yeah.
He said
the
one day,
crush on Donna
Dean
Martin.
The fiance, and now he has a tattoo of her and her bosoms on his left left
upper tattoo.
Arm.
Three, right? Is it three tats?
Technically, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm.
With a fifth up here, which is my family coat of arms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We, the Corollas, have a cot and a dumpster and a roll of Bounty. Two rolls they make. They cross in front of the cot.
Bounty paper towels.
Yeah, they go back. They go back. Yes, with the old country. Tori Spelling also here. So notorious. Getting very favorable notices from the once harsh critics. But now that Tori has started to laugh at herself, turn the joke on herself, all of a sudden everyone's lightened up on her.
I love all the backhanded compliments I get. Those are great because people love the show and you hear things like, I used to think she sucked, but now I actually thought she was pretty funny. It's like,
yeah.
Oh. Thanks. Well, there have been a few flashback scenes on the show because I'm a big fan, and in one of them, you're deathly afraid of Shannon Doherty,
right?
Is that true?
No, but we played with that one because there's been this rumored fight between us for years, which wasn't true. We were actually best friends. We were on the show. It was everyone else that had a problem with her. So we just kind of poked fun at that.
Well, you got kind of in between her and. What's her name? The other blonde.
Jenny Garth,
right? Because you were friends with Shannon.
Kelly.
Were you friends with both of them?
I was. That was hard.
And
yeah.
you were caught in between.
I was.
What
literally.
A sandwich. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But it was that Steve Sanders who was the jerk of the group, yes?
No. Who? No? Ian's
Ian? Ian?
No.
I don't know who that is. Steve Sanders.
No, are you talking character or actor?
Dave thinks this actually was a documentary that was filmed
right.
about people that went to California
Why
University.
I moved to California.
You know what I could never figure out? Eventually, when you guys got out of high school and you went to college, and they do this with all shows, you go to California College or some generic whatever. Why not UCLA? I mean, why not pick an actual university, get a little pub for whoever it is, SC, UCLA, maybe even Northridge or something? Why? I always wondered why in TV movies and TV shows they never actually use a university.
I don't know. I mean, it must be legal reasons that they can't use the name.
Yeah, but it always struck me. It's like those bad college football movies where they have FACO teams playing, you know, the Weasels are playing the hand shovels. And it's like, what the hell?
Because we could never say that we went to Beverly High, which exists.
Oh, you couldn't?
No, we were West Beverly High.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing.
It is weird.
Yeah. By the way, you're kind of taxes your dad must pay in that school district. Because that's the school you would go to. Is that the school you did go to?
I did not, actually. I went to Westlake School for Girls.
Oh, right up
Uniforms?
The hill there.
Mm-hmm.
Uniforms, right?
Uniforms.
She still has the uniform.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Checkered skirt?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. White blouse? Knee socks?
Oh,
pigtails.
Yeah. Yeah. How about the penny loafers?
Yeah, we did have those.
You know, it's nice. Get some saddle shoes.
Saddle shoes.
Put that on for Dean.
They look better with a big stripper heel.
The saddle shoe?
I like the saddle shoes with the schoolgirl uniform.
Interesting.
But with the stripper heels, it looks really good.
Tori.
Different take on it.
Tori, we have a question from you coming via the phones here.
Right
Matt?
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Tori, this is Matt Borlanghi calling.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, I just wanted to congratulate you on your happiness, your love, and your show and all that.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I have a 9-month-old daughter now.
Who is this, Matt? Who are you to Tori?
I'm just an acquaintance, you know.
He was a busboy at the Peach Pit.
That's it.
Matt's an actor as well.
I see. Do you have a tat of Tori?
No, my wife Heather won't let me have one.
Wow. Uh-huh.
But you know what? I wanted to tell you, you know, in a town full of cynics and, well, a world full of cynics, this show is really good for you because you did it all on your own and no one can say, well, yeah, that was daddy's help and whatever. You know, they can say whatever they want about 90210, but this is one thing that it's all you and I'm proud of you and I'm happy for you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Absolutely. Congratulations and you guys take care.
Aw.
Thanks, wow. Matt.
Is there a rodeo in town?
Nice ass kiss. Yeah, ass kiss rodeo. Look at that.
He's
right now.
Guy.
It's ass kiss rodeo.
This Dean, by the way, looks like a perfect cross between Dylan McKay and David Silver, two of Donna's old loves.
A tall Dylan McKay.
Donna never went out with Dylan McKay.
You're right. You're the only one who never laid down with Dylan.
Nope.
Never felt
she was
for
a virgin.
His wiles.
That's right. Yeah.
Jeff?
Yes?
You have a question for Tori?
I did. Tori, I was wondering if you're still angry with your mom about that Lonnie Anderson thing.
Mm.
If I'm angry with my mom.
She's angry at you, right?
Well, that was what was reported.
Mm. Do you know?
So that's not
Do you
true?
You speak?
No, yeah, we totally speak. My mom actually recently, we were watching Entertainment Tonight, and my mom was at an event, and they asked her, and she was like, no, she has no problem. We speak, and it's a comedy. I mean, my mom knows. They saw the show before it ever came on. They were told about it, and she knew that it wasn't her, that it's kind of just poking fun at the life I have. And the mother figure is kind of made up of a bunch of different mothers in all of our lives.
How about Pops, Aaron Spelling? Is he meddling? Does he give you tips? Is it tough to show a guy who's been responsible for 75,000 TV shows your TV show without him going, well, I would have done it a little bit differently?
Right. Here's funny. When we were doing the pilot, I would call him at different times because it was my first thing I was producing. So we could connect on that level. And I would say, hey, Dad, so I'm editing today. You know, the first time in editing, and it's really great. And he would say, oh, babe, that's great. But, you know, I got the best editors. He goes, you should bring it over here. Let me finish editing it. So he always is going that way.
Right. And you wanted to do it on your own.
Yeah. And I was like, no, Dad, I got it.
I'm the opposite. To me, it's important for me not to do things on my own. I would like somebody else to start doing this crap for me. It's the exact opposite thing. I would just say, anytime if you're, my dad was Aaron Spelling and he gave me any grief, every answer would be, listen, old man, I should have had a drifter kill you years ago and moved right into this palace. Are you going to live there one day? Do you think?
No.
Why not?
You know
54,000 square feet.
Bowling alley? I know. I could live in the bowling lane alone.
Oh.
But, you know, it's the same mentality of me wanting to do things on my own. I've never really liked that lifestyle because it's what I had and what I was mocked for.
Oh.
So.
If I lived there, I'd be like the kid from The Shining. I'd be riding my big wheel. Huge. At first, I would have a big wheel commissioned. I need a huge $75,000 big wheel commission, and I'll be riding it up and down the hall with a cooler in it. Just, you'd hear me coming down. Here comes Corolla. Do it. Dean, move in there. Get married and move in.
I don't know. Maybe the garage.
Like, which one? They have like 20 garages.
Now, when you get married, Pops is going to have to foot the bill, right? I mean, that's tradition.
Well, but we're not going traditional. I mean, it's a second marriage for both of us, and mm-hmm. we both want to do it right this time, and we're doing the wedding ourselves.
Are you going lavish, or are you going low-key?
No, I mean, from my end, my first wedding was kind of, you know, it was kind of a big show.
Right.
Because, you know, you're doing it all, and it became all about the planning, which, you know, it kind of, you get in over your head, and it drives you nuts. And by the time you get to the actual wedding day, you can't even enjoy yourself. Mm. And this time, we don't want it to be about, you know, choosing the color roses and picking out the
small
perfect dress.
Small and tasteful.
Yeah.
Small, tasteful, and
we just
want to
do it.
And Adam Carolla is going to
I'll
be the
preside
best man
over it. Yes. Dean will get a trash can lid-sized tat of you on his back, and then it's off to the honeymoon.
It's just the three of us.
All right. We are way out of time. I want to thank Tori Spelling for coming in here. So notorious. VH1, congratulations
on
that.
Thank you. Appreciate
Sunday
it.
Nights at 10 o'clock. Dean, you can find at a tat parlor near you, Dean McDermott. Thank you for coming in here, and thank you for your candor.
My
we
pleasure,
appreciate
Adam.
That.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, the great Jimmy Kimmel, Jesse Jane. Lots of big celebs on the show tomorrow. Also,
can I come in for that too?
Please, just you know what? Don't even come in. Just stay.
Just stay. Okay.
I want to thank Def Frat Guy and Dick Cavett and Sabina, the Overstock.com girl, and of course, Tori Spelling, so notorious. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.